Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
You ready, champ?
I've been ready for this my whole life.
Can you take us out on feet?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
You got your head so far up your ass about that damn football team. You don't get the fact. You just got 1 year of top quality education. Don't be wasting my time.
Paul Perillo.
Do you see that guy over there? Could you maybe wave at him a little bit? Just kind of humor him. Please.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm sick of being all-time center.
You're sick of what?
Andy Hart.
I'm sick of being all-time center.
Rudy, I told you five times. You can't play anything else but all-time center. You're too small.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Oh, you are so full of crap. You're 5 feet nothing, 100 and nothing, and you got hardly a speck of athletic ability.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You all know what you have to do. Remember, no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house and pushes us around. This is your game now, gentlemen. Let's get them.
All right, with that motivational, inspirational opening, I don't really think we need it on today, because I think this is going to be one of our all-time shows here in PFW in Progress.
Yeah, but I think the fans might need it based on the reaction to the trade that I'm reading in SPFW.
But that's all part of making this a great show. This, people are revved up from this for this show. I've been reading the emails. I think people wanted a show on Sunday. If we could have done a show on Sunday, I think people would have been...
Huge response to the blog, Fred.
Really good. But this is PFW in Progress, and we have a lot to talk about. Matt Cassel is a Kansas City Chief. Mike Vrabel is a Kansas City Chief. Lonnie Paxton and Jabbar Gaffney are Broncos. And Josh McDaniels is about to be taken out of town on rails.
Who's going to be his quarterback?
A lot to talk about. This is exciting. This is what we're looking for. This is hot stove football. Who cares what the Red Sox are doing right now? This is where it's at. This is what's important. New England Patriots, NFL football, in the month of March. I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
The way all offseason should be, right?
You got that right.
Two Genders got a job interview today.
And he's all dressed up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I hope he gets the job.
It's what's going on, 2J? Just gave Andy the finger. What's going on?
Nothing. I just had a few meetings.
Just a few. So now you dress up for meetings?
With people outside the organization.
I like it.
Is this in your role as ad representative,
I like it,
or whatever?
Listen to me.
Yeah.
This kid's doing things. 2G, he's a...
Except ordering your lunch.
He's doing things.
Yes,
he is making it happen.
Well, that's the problem. He's doing things during the show.
You know how they, with Kuiper and all those mock drafts, they have risers? He's a riser. There's an up arrow next to Dan Tugender's name.
Not in Andy Hart's rankings.
There's an up arrow next to 2G's name. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. We are here for you, good or bad, whether you like or don't like the Cassel and Vrabel trade for a second round of the Chiefs. We're here for you. We're going to break it down. We're going to analyze it.
Can
we're
going to
dissect it. We're going to make it happen for you today. Right, guys?
Absolutely. Yeah,
on today.
You guys are looking at me like you're not even interested. What the hell's wrong with
I'm
you?
Interested. We just came out of a 2-hour meeting, Fred. We're a little bit banged up right now.
We talked about it yesterday that this is a big show. Am I all right?
Oh, I thought you said what you were going to say. We talked about it yesterday. We've moved on to the castle.
Yeah. No, this is a big show. We all three of us, well, I should say the three of us, Fred, Andy, and I, because Eric couldn't make it in
apparently
yesterday.
Apparently, they had 22 feet of snow in Rhode
Island.
I have
to talk to you about. What's wrong with you? Why couldn't you make it in yesterday?
It was timing, Fred. It was more advantageous for me to work from home and get my stuff done.
So you waited till Monday morning to get your stuff done? You had all weekend.
I had all weekend.
Right.
I had all weekend.
Yes.
To wait and see what was going to happen during the weekend.
He was too busy blogging about Chris Brown and Rihanna.
I was blogging.
You were blogging.
I was the only one blogging, by the way, out of this crew.
No, Andy blogged.
That's not accurate. Well,
He made one entry. That's,
sorry,
that's
I didn't
right.
blog about Rihanna. I was the only one who didn't blog,
and that was because my password wouldn't
he
work.
He had one blog. I did the inordinate amount of blogging.
So why couldn't you come in yesterday?
Password issues.
Because I had other stuff to do, and if I had waited to plow myself out and wait for my street to get plowed and not get stuck on the
street.
Like
where do you live, in Arkansas?
I live in a hilly region.
A hilly region?
Yes.
hilly region? You live in Providence.
North Providence.
Yeah.
It's a hilly region.
It's not a hilly region.
North where I live
I know where North Providence
the hills
it is.
North Providence.
No, stop telling lies. You are an habitual liar. No, it wouldn't have made sense. I would have gotten here like 10:30, 11 o'clock, and then I would have put you that much more.
You were lying your ass off.
You would have been that much further behind in getting the paper done.
You were in bed playing with yourself. You know what you were doing. Don't give me that.
Did I not get my stuff done in time, Paul?
Depends what you mean by on time.
Yeah, we were waiting for your commentary, as I told you the last time you asked me that question.
I had to comment on the castle move.
Yeah, well, that didn't happen until late Saturday.
Late Saturday, and then I had to absorb
Actually,
it and figure
about
out
1 o'clock
what I wanted
on
to say.
Saturday.
On the seventh day, he rested.
It was after 2 o'clock on Saturday. Cause
well,
that's
Fred
when I got
called
the call.
Me. At what time, Fred? I was already at my speaking engagement.
Yeah, it was like 2-ish or something like that.
Yeah. So it had already happened because I heard it on the radio when I was driving there.
Yeah. See, I was at
4-2.
I was coaching lacrosse.
Really?
On Saturday. And when I got out, I heard about all this stuff. So. But I saw Paul come in from Peabody. And I said, oh, Eric must not be far behind, but you let me down.
Even Chris
I was
it
in early.
I know.
Paul Even Chris made region. It?
Paul came on a flat tire. You got a flat tire on the way to work.
I heard about that. Yeah.
I did.
Did you ruin your rim?
I don't know yet.
Driving down Route 1?
I didn't drive very far on it.
No. But you got a flat tire. That was a sucky day yesterday.
Yeah. He didn't break his windshield. That's all you had back there.
Yeah.
All right. So
see, now, he's run amok with the board. Go get my food, will you?
So we have just a boatload of emails that have come in since Sunday, since all this went down.
Do any say, subject heading, great trade?
No, some understand. But
I think by now there's going to be more understanding.
Well,
initially,
yeah. My initial reaction was, what?
I told you.
I think everyone's was.
Yes. And it's already started to happen. I'm sure, Andy, you've seen it because you've been working on the SPFWs. A few of them already now starting the worm is starting to turn.
Not as much. They've changed their focus to Jason Taylor's available.
You know, because the first thing we heard was Vrabel got traded, and we didn't have compensation. Right. So we took that on its own on Friday. Okay. Next thing you know, he's packaged in a trade with Castle for only a second rounder, and we're like, well, you know, that's it. But now that we have some of the details and some of the stories, and of all these people that have sources are all parroting the same thing,
right?
So whoever or whatever the sources are all agreeing on the fact that the deal, this three-way deal between Denver and Tampa Bay and the Patriots, would have been a good deal.
It was too late and too risky.
You couldn't take the chance.
But I think if you had known about it, you would have waited to see if it would happen.
If it had been brought up like Wednesday of last week.
If they had done it when they should have, which was in the month since, as you said, the Patriots made their intentions known to the world.
You're right.
Everybody should have had a good understanding of when midnight strikes, here's what's going to happen. We're going to start doing this, and this.
Right.
And they didn't.
I'll admit that part of this is a little devil's advocate, but what was the huge risk? Everybody says it was too risky. What was the huge risk?
That one of those three components not falling into place.
That's kind of just a talking pipe dream, whatever, it's not real, and then Pioli leaves and says, I'm done.
I'm going to
do whatever. Castle stays on your books.
And then you trade him to someone for less than you would have gotten if you trade him for
a second. Yeah, or you go back to Pioli and
he says... There's no possible way that he was going to end up in New England.
Oh, I don't know about
that. Unless you wanted him to.
But then you go back to Pioli and then he says, well, you stiffed me the first time. Now it's only worth a fourth-round pick.
That's part of playing poker. You know? But I would argue, and I've heard a lot of people talk about the risk being that you ended up with Castle, and I just don't really see that as being the worst case scenario of the risk.
Well,
I don't
do.
The worst case scenario to me is you ended up with less than a second round pick.
Well, and are you willing to take that risk?
Yeah, I would have.
But how many teams were willing to acquire a $15 million quarterback?
Apparently I think three or four.
Yeah, not as many as we originally thought, though.
Yeah, certainly not as many as everybody said.
Well,
I mean, the list
were
8, 10, 12, and the list came down to like two.
Well, no.
Three.
Well,
Pretty much, yeah.
We know of, well, know of is a bad word, but based on the NFL reports, we know of four teams. Detroit, Tampa, Denver, and Kansas City.
Tampa had no interest in Matt Kemp.
But they were involved.
Right, they were involved.
They were involved.
In these three-way deals.
Yeah, but
which are not exactly NFL dime a dozen.
Now,
Denver, you couldn't deal directly with Denver because they didn't have, they didn't have what we wanted.
What?
You know what I mean?
Right. No, I understand what you're saying. There's some creativity.
So at the time, he made his offer. Denver wasn't on our table.
Let me just state this up front because we did talk about this yesterday, and I don't want to get misrepresented here. I am not overly disappointed with the fact that they got a second-round pick for Matt Castle because I was never convinced he was worth a first-round pick in the first place. I thought, and Andy and I talked about this a lot over the last month, we were both fascinated by the varied opinions of what Castle was worth on, NFL league-wide circles.
Right.
GMs, longtime NFL followers, former players like Jim Miller who kind of switch back and forth midstream.
Screwed himself because we're right all along.
I was very much fascinated by the wide range of opinion. He's worth a first and a third or 2 seconds or, he's worth all of this. He's better than anybody that's available. And then other guys said
Julius Peppers.
He really didn't do that much. He was a kind of a system quarterback.
How about a tall, skinny
lost all the big
warmer.
Games that he played in, and it's gonna be buyer beware, 1 year wonder. There was a wide range of opinion. So I wasn't overly disappointed with a second round pick. I think they probably could have got a little more. My question would be why they seem to have a gun to their head to make the deal immediately. That's the only question I would have. Otherwise, compensation is fine.
That so much as at the time that they did it, that's all that was left.
And my question is why at the time that they did it, did they have to do it?
Because they wanted the cap room and they were scared.
Exactly. Well, they already had to restructure Moss to get something.
We know
something.
They want to make more moves.
They were up against the ceiling, Paul. Right. They couldn't do anything.
So what? What did they do?
What do you mean, what did they do?
All right, they had to make the deal Friday.
They signed Fred Taylor, James Sanders.
They had already done that.
However, I don't believe they had signed James Sanders.
Oh, not James Sanders. They didn't do James Sanders.
They
assumed that Randy Moss allowed that to happen.
That was supposed to be the Fred Taylor.
No, that was for Fred Taylor.
Chris Baker?
That was for Fred Taylor, Paul.
But they had already made those moves, no?
No. Well, not technically.
I don't think they had been finalized.
But I don't think they had any cap room.
So you're telling me that they... To get Fred Taylor, Chris Baker, and James Sanders was worth making that trade as fast as they did.
And who knows what else could come down the pipe.
No, wrong. They could have made the trade Monday and have something else come down the pike. They could have gotten 8 first-round picks from Matt Castle and done something else down the pike.
Because maybe they had plans to do something else quickly over the weekend, but then that
didn't. Do you really think that?
I think it's possible.
I don't.
Well, I don't understand. Like, if they didn't have to do it then, if there was something else that they could have waited to, why not wait? You're right. But there wasn't anything.
I think they didn't wait for exactly what Andy said. I think, it's kind of like you're playing poker and they weren't really willing to be all in and they called they didn't want to get the bluff called. They didn't feel it was worth the wait.
I mean, now the 12th pick is out there, so it's second versus 12th, but, maybe they didn't even think the 12 was a possibility. Like the Detroit 33 is one pick better, or maybe somebody comes in and the Detroit had a first round pick 21 or 20.
And Detroit wasn't willing to give them.
But even if they were to move up 10 or 12 spots, is it worth risking James Sanders signs elsewhere? You have to keep Castle in the worst case scenario on your books.
Yeah, I don't
just
think
the risk reward.
That's the only part of it that I disagree with. I don't think that was a worst case scenario.
I don't think there was
any chance of that happening.
I think there was.
I think
such
they could have traded
market.
Him somewhere for a seventh round pick if they had to. Someone would have.
Disregarding that he had a $15 million contract tied to him.
No, but that's the worst case scenario.
See, I disagree. I don't think a lot of teams would sign $15 million quarterbacks.
Well, I think there are a lot of people.
We got the cap room. Let's just throw $15 million at Castle.
That's fine. We don't have to agree on everything. I disagree that there was any chance that the Patriots would have had him on their roster unwillingly.
Well,
if they wanted him, that would be one
thing. How many teams have more than $15 million in cap space right now?
Right.
I mean, that's a lot of money.
By the way, where are the Broncos getting all this money?
I think, Paul, you're underestimating the economy of not the general economy. I mean, that's part of it, but the economy in the NFL and where some teams are.
But a lot of
why is Ray Lewis not signed now? Why is TJ Hoos
Masada not signed? Because he's vastly overselling himself.
Seattle.
TJ, who's your mama?
Ray Lewis is vastly overselling himself. He's acting like he's 28.
But in the past, these guys that were overselling themselves got signed
not
early.
At his age. Here's
the
not at his age and his money. No way.
Here's the bigger question in my mind. Why hasn't Julius Peppers, who wants out of Carolina so much, not signed his tender so that he can work out a trade?
Is that true? He hasn't signed his tender?
That's what I'm hearing.
He hasn't signed his tender, which I this is another thing that I don't necessarily agree with. I don't.
So what's he going to do? Sit out?
Exactly.
Stupid.
And you're he's allowed to negotiate with the 31 other teams. That's not precluding him from being dealt.
Right. Well,
I know that's Adam Schefter's got this big thing. Because he hasn't signed his tender, they can't work out a trade. Well, that might be technically true, but that's not stopping him to have his agent talk to the other
team. No, it isn't, but why not sign your
tender?
Why
isn't he doing it?
What's the big deal?
Maybe he doesn't want to play for the Carolina Panthers. Much
maybe
like
he's
a Asante
hoping.
Samuel
I know,
didn't.
But he can't be traded. They can work something out,
right.
But he can't be traded until he signs it.
Right.
Yeah, work something out first.
So why the delay?
Because he doesn't want to play for Carolina. If nothing works out, he doesn't want to have to play.
Maybe he's hoping they'll pull it. Maybe
Asante Samuel did the same thing
it.
2 years ago. He never signed his tender.
Who?
Asante Samuel did the same thing.
Yeah,
right?
That's kind of where I was going before, Paul, with that something bigger was coming and they had to hurry up and get Castle out of the way because I thought they were trying to work on a deal for Peppers and that they needed all that cap room and they were hurrying up and trying to get it done.
I don't think that's the case.
Let me ask you a question, and I don't know the answer to this. Are you allowed to submit a deal to the league, you know, on paper, if you don't have the cap room already?
I don't believe you're allowed to do that.
So that's another reason why they need to get Castle. They can't even submit an offer until they have the cap room.
Okay. So what offer have they submitted in the last 4 days?
I don't know, and you don't know either. But I'm just saying that
We can just play in Never Never Land then and just pretend that they made all these offers to people. Well, they signed a guy for $3 million. They didn't need $18 million.
But I'm just saying, you can't even...
immediately. They needed it
in
general.
If they were trying to work on something with Peppers or somebody else, they can't even submit that offer to the league until they have the cap space.
So ridiculous.
And when you're ready to make that move to Peppers, then you make the move for Castle. You take all the time that you could possibly have. That's all I was saying.
Well,
again, I don't think it's a bad trade because I think second-round pick is fine. I think number 34 pick overall, I have no problem
with that. Let's get into the other element because this is what I think most people... started saying, but wait. And the but wait is, I could see Castle for the 34th, a high second-round pick. Why throw in Vrabel? Why did they do that?
Thank you, Mike Vrabel.
That was well done.
So people are saying,
been waiting.
Why did
Finger
you have
on the button
to do
the
that?
Whole time. When's the time? When's the time?
That's a good question.
Isn't Vrabel worth more than a bag of balls, which is basically what it came into. And from what I understand, they were going to cut him anyway.
Right.
And they figured if they cut him, Mangini or the Jets are going to sign him. Why do them a favor? We'll give him to Pioli.
Do you think that he is worth more than a bag of balls?
Yes.
Then why not trade him somewhere else for more than a bag of balls?
Or why not get a second rounder and maybe a fourth or a fifth rounder?
If you wait and try to work out a deal somewhere else, you have to pay him the $1 million.
Right.
What I'm saying is why didn't they try to deal him before?
And the $1 million is the roster bonus that they would have to have paid him by March 1st, I think, is it? Or the 28th of
February? $1 million.
28th of February?
Yeah, it was.
Something like that. So they had to get rid of him. You're saying why not do it earlier then? Why not cut him earlier?
No, work on a trade with him. I mean, I find it hard to believe that the best you could get for him was nothing, which is basically what you're telling me.
Yeah, because this trade might not have looked so bad to
now,
fans
maybe everybody
if they
else
had gotten
said
a
that.
Second pick. If they had gotten the second round pick and a fifth for Vrabel and Castle.
I was saying like even a
6. 2 for 2.
You know.
Anything.
Yeah.
Anything so that it's an even number of picks and number of players.
Yeah.
This way it looks like both of those guys are worth one pick.
Right.
Well, now it looks like, you know, he's a throw-in. And so it's like Castle, what was Castle worth? I mean.
Well, it's funny that it sounds like he was the throw-in, too, because he was the first guy mentioned in the trade.
Well, it got out there.
It got out there.
Who mentioned it? The teams didn't mention
right.
it. It just got out there. So
it's funny how it came out, though.
Well,
it came out like Vrabel traded for an
unsure
pick, and then all of a sudden,
But I think that's probably his health. He had to go and get a physical.
He had to get a physical.
Andy brings up a good point, though. What was Castle worth? I mean, if Vrabel wasn't involved, would it have been a second
round? It muddies the water.
I don't know.
Maybe it wouldn't have. I don't know.
Yeah, it muddies the water a little, so you still don't really know what he was worth.
All right, on the phone right now is John in Palm Bay. John, how you doing? Thanks for waiting.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Hey, John.
Hey, I think it was an okay trade. I think it was mostly done for cap room. And I was kind of hoping they'd take off to Tepper, but after seeing Jason Taylor signed, I'd rather see him, honestly, go maybe for a veteran minimum for Jason Taylor and draft young guys, you know, linebacker, outside linebacker, early second round.
Yeah, and, I don't think.
Will Jason Taylor play for a veteran minimum?
I don't. With 12 teams that contacted him in the first hour that he was available.
But I would like Jason Taylor to come on. I would definitely think that's a good move for the Patriots. Andy and I was talking about this earlier, though. I don't think
there's a chance in hell. Since the sounds like the reason he was out in Washington is they wanted to rework his deal and they wanted to, which is part of it, but they wanted him to work out 25 times during the offseason.
He
didn't want to. He chose his agent's family over football.
Has Jason Taylor kind of got the reputation now of like a pretty boy, kind of prima donna
over the last year and a half?
A little bit. I would take him. I think that he would more than replace Rabel's pass rushing ability. Now, you wouldn't get the all-around game that Rabel gave you.
Right.
Or for as many years.
Or knowledge of the system.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, let's be honest. The guy's a year removed from a great year.
Yeah, he's a great player.
Just like Rabel was. He's more of a freakish athlete in terms of you know, Vrabel's a good athlete. Taylor's freakish.
I would love to see that move made, and I do agree with John that you could get him for a hell of a lot less than Peppers, even though you'd only be getting a year or two out of him at most. I think that you could make an argument there that that's good value.
Well, I just want to go back to Vrabel a little bit because, you know, to be fair, a lot of people said Vrabel had an off year in 08. And numbers-wise, he did. He went from 12.5 sacks to 4. But Vrabel was as much a beneficiary of that offense as anyone else. I mean, the defense was constantly playing with a 30-point lead or something like that. And it's not as hard to pick up sacks in situations like that. And that was a lot of how he never had 12.5 sacks before 08.
Right.
You know, and he went back to what he usually did in
09. But he wasn't as good. I mean, did your eyes tell you, beyond the numbers,
the
that
eye
he wasn't
test
as good?
Did tell me he had lost
chasing
step.
Guys, not as secure on the edge. Maybe he's making a tackle yards downfield. It used to be 2.
Everyone points to that sack number. That is not the indicator of the year he had.
Right. I would agree with some of that.
It's more the eye test.
But I think he lost it against the run, against the pass, in the rush.
If he didn't make as many plays, I agree with you guys in the eye test. But at the same time, I have found it interesting over the last couple of days how bad Mike Vrabel was last year all of a sudden. You know, and look, very few things that this team does really, really take us completely by surprise. Like that we're stunned. We were all stunned on Friday when we found out that Mike Vrabel was traded. You know, wouldn't you all agree?
Sure.
All four of us were absolutely stunned. He was a starting outside linebacker.
Fred shrugging.
but Fred's shrugging for a different reason. You know that. He's not on the Patriots anymore, so you know he not.
Yeah, no great loss.
But no. Mike Vrabel was a pretty good player for this team for 8 years.
Good deal on number 50 jerseys now in the pro shop.
What are you doing? What the hell are you doing?
Wait a minute. Left. Fred was just like, why do you give 2G such a hard time? Doesn't take long to turn on him. He's like Mike Vrabel. What the hell are you doing?
That's part of the shtick.
So now your arrow is now going down.
You do it when we're not even on air.
That's true.
It's not shtick with
he
you.
He walked through the office, and I can't say the word. Probably shouldn't have said it in the office either.
So getting back to your point,
Paul. I just think it's funny how Vrabel stinks now. You know, and I'm not saying everybody.
It is amazing how bad he is.
A lot of people have just completely ripped him to shreds now. And I'm not talking fans.
Wait,
I'm not talking
Who's
fans.
Ripping him to shreds?
Have you listened to any of the stuff on radio?
On EEI?
Oh, he really lost it. He really lost
well,
it.
Well, said that.
Glenn's the only one that
I was going to say, Glenn thinks he was still an all-pro last year.
You know, but somehow they have this that they saved $4 million by doing this, too. I don't get that either.
Well, they did.
How?
What do you mean, how?
They paid him. He's 3.2 on the cap or something like that, isn't he?
No, I don't think so.
No. 2.2? What is it?
They saved the million.
They saved 3.2.
Yeah. 4.3 he was going to be, and it's 2.3 now?
It's like a million.
No, it's $1 million on the cap.
$1 million
is the dead money.
It's the dead money.
They saved
still only $3 million that they saved, not four.
Okay. Right, they saved three and change.
And I don't really understand if they had just released him, they would have saved the same amount, as far as I know.
That's right.
They would have.
That's right.
They
but they clearly
they kept
as
trying
Fred
to convince
said,
me yesterday
that
on the radio
going
to
go somewhere.
But they try to convince me yesterday on the radio that if they waited an hour, that would have cost them an extra $4 million.
Think that's
I don't
accurate.
Really get it.
That's not accurate.
Well, no, if they had paid the bonus.
Right.
But
right.
Why
if they
would
had
you pay a bonus to a guy
point.
You were going to cut?
No, I
Paul's
know.
Saying if they cut him,
if they just cut him, it would have been the same
exactly.
thing.
Right, Right.
So
right.
trading him to Kansas City didn't save them more cap space than releasing
him.
So
is it a respect thing, throw him in the deal now?
That's
like,
what I
like,
think.
Like Eric thinks, you really can't separate the value of either one, and so you don't have to say, we cut Mike Vrabel.
See, I think you can make a strong argument that it's a lack of respect for throwing him in a deal so he doesn't have the freedom to play where he wants.
It could be. You could look
but
at
he got
that
money
way.
That he probably wouldn't have gotten on the open market.
And if Mike Vrabel feels that way, we'll find out
probably.
Soon enough.
But I'd be stunned if he
but
got
he
that
definitely
money.
Couldn't pick his team. He may not have gotten the same amount of money.
I don't think he would have gotten that much, that
so
much
how
money.
Long, what's the over-under for the Borges article citing Mike Vrabel saying how much he was disrespected?
Mike Vrabel or a former Patriot defensive starter?
What are you doing? What, we're going to break now? Why do we need to break?
Food here, maybe?
Oh, okay. Oh,
your underling needs you.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, it's 12:28, so we do need to break, and we'll be right back.
MLS soccer action returns to Foxborough as the Revs kick off the 2009 season.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
Be a part of the action all season long as the Revs make another run at the Super Liga Championship and an MLS Cup Championship. Season tickets are now on sale for the 2009 season. This 20-game package features 15 regular season and 5 exclusive soccer matches. The Revs kick off 2009 on April 4th when they take on FC Dallas. See a Super Liga final rematch with the Houston Dynamo, conference rival DC United's only trip to Foxborough. Be there when the LA Galaxy take on the Revs, the reigning MLS Cup champion Columbus Crew, and many more. Taylor Twellman.
Oh, what a goal by Taylor Twellman!
Matt Reese.
Off the line, and saved by Reese!
And the rest of the Revs are set to kick off 09, and you won't want to miss a minute of the exciting action at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS to get your 2009 season tickets. Pride, passion, revolution!
With the 10th pick, the New England Patriots select Jerod Mayo, linebacker, Tennessee.
Last year's draft produced the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. What will this year bring? Discover the future stars of your favorite team at the 2009 New England Patriots official draft party powered by Autotrader.com. Saturday, April 25th, watch the draft on huge TVs and enjoy a lunch buffet in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse at Gillette Stadium. Get updates from the Patriots front office and coaching staff throughout the day with scheduled appearances by current and former Patriots players, cheerleaders, and Pat Patriot. Think you're an NFL draft guru? Make your best picks and take part in the mock draft contest for a chance to win a pair of 2009 Patriots season tickets. To purchase tickets or to find out more information about the 2009 NFL Draft Party powered by Autotrader.com, visit GilletteStadium.com. The 2009 NFL Draft. Who will it be this year? No purchase necessary to participate in mock draft contest. For rules and alternate means of entry, please contact Patriots Events at Patriots.com.
Want to be rewarded just for shopping? At Patriot Place in Foxborough, you can be. Use your already existing Visa cards when you visit New England's most unique destination and earn points while enjoying everything Patriot Place has to offer. The points you earn from shopping, dining, and the entertainment at Patriot Place can be redeemed for amazing rewards, like free admission to the hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon, tickets to Gillette Stadium event, autographed Patriots merchandise, and more. The Patriot Place Rewards Program is the first of its kind. Simply enroll your existing Visa cards. There's no approval and no new card. Enrolling is easy and it's free. Register one or all of your existing Visa cards and you'll get all the benefits associated with your existing card, plus Patriot Place rewards at no extra cost. And every time you shop, you'll be entered to win a $1,000 shopping spree. Visit patriot-place.com to enroll your existing Visa cards today. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
Paul Perillo prides himself on being the old-timer of the PFW crew.
Going back to the 40s with Paul.
Well, let's face it, it's actually Andy who makes fun of Paul for being an old-timer. But just because he was born in the 40s or something, it doesn't exactly mean Paul has all the answers. In fact, it seems like just about everything Paul's come up with, he didn't come up with.
I was going to say he's rated the way he should be, too. I was going to say, I read something. This is what I was going to just on this topic.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
That's the way I was going to say. That's probably on mission. Statement right there.
I was going to say, you know why it is.
What's the matter, Paul?
No, I was going to say it was before 85. So I was going to say that, but I don't even know.
Jeez, Paul, what do you know? We're not sure if you ever had an original thought, and even that your catchphrases might be stolen. Right, Eddie Mac?
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
All right, back here on PFW in Progress. We did have one emailer, Walter, wrote in and said that you're
Zenga?
No, he said, you're the only thing worth listening to on EEI. Oh. And he'd like to know when your schedule is, because he never knows when you're going to be on.
That's very kind of you to say.
Is he an insomniac?
Oh, wow. Eric with the zing.
Well played. Wow.
Zing, Eric.
Whatever. Sorry, Paul.
You get so mad. Eric obviously had no problem sleeping yesterday because he couldn't make it into work.
Wow. Good comeback, Paul.
I was working.
Sure you were.
Is that what you're calling?
You're working it.
Whoa. That's twice. Right. Now you're really making me uncomfortable. But it's nice of Walter to say, but I don't really have a set schedule at WEEI. I'm usually on once a week, but it kind of varies.
Is there some way we could ask the EI to get you a regular? Because then,
good news out of Orlando, Florida, Dale Earnhardt died.
It's good for them to have people know when you're going to be on, because doesn't the ratings go up when you're on?
I would imagine that's the case, Fred.
Right. So
yeah, at other stations,
it would behoove them to get a schedule.
What was the context of that comment? That Dale Earnhardt comment.
He screwed up. I think it's
edited.
But he
died.
No, the good news part. What was
screwed up, but it's edited.
I think
it?
It's edited.
Oh.
He does screw up a lot, though. Yesterday, did you hear John Lester, two scoreless, gave up one run.
It'll be John Halama on the mound against El Duque.
He's terrible.
He makes you look like the perfect professional, Bob Costas.
You know, when he keeps saying, I went to the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. If I was at school, I would say, please don't mention us anymore.
Yeah, but they don't care. They just want people with money and a dream.
But if that's what you come out with?
Yeah. But they don't care. People look at him and say, he's on the best radio station, probably making good money.
All right. Anyway, on the phone right now is Mike from Puerto Rico. Mike, how you doing?
Doing good, guys. How you guys doing today?
We're doing great.
Fortunately, as always, I haven't been able to listen to guys have been saying before I came on. But I just have a couple of questions for you guys. Do you actually believe we could have gotten better value than what we got for Castle at this point? Or is it basically it was a deal that was made and Bill just honored it just to get it out of the way and clear the cap space?
No, obviously there was better value out there. They could have gotten better value. The problem was at the time they did the deal with Pioli, they didn't know about it. And when they did the deal, it was too late. At that point, you can't go back. You can't renege on the deal because then it just hurts your reputation. Yeah. There was better value out there. They just didn't know about it.
Are we sure about that?
Well, if this trade deal...
But that's what I mean.
If well, it's we know enough now where McDaniels is on the hot seat, and if it wasn't true...
They were interested in dealing, but do we know for sure that the 12 was available or whatever?
Oh, no. But we know...
I feel like some of it is somebody buys something from some other guy, one neighbor buys somebody else's lawnmower, and you go, he only gave you $20 for that? I would have given you 40. But you don't really want to do it now. You know there's no chance of it happening. Is it true? Is it fact?
I can see it being fact. I believe that McDaniels would have offered a first rounder for Castle because he knows what he's got. He knows what he's getting from him. He wanted him to be the cornerstone of his offense. Obviously, he didn't want Jay Cutler to be.
Still doesn't.
Right.
Apparently going to Minnesota.
Right. Okay. That surprises me too. That whole angle of it. That Minnesota traded for Rosenfels. Under the auspices of that's the guy we wanted, they didn't have any interest in Castle. Now they want to get Cutler. I like it. It's a little
another better guy became available.
That
Childress
is not long for that place. Let me tell you,
this whole thing fell apart. Excuse me, Michael.
There's a little more tape on it that maybe they saw. They've seen what Cutler has been able to do the last couple of years, rather than what Castle was just able to do last year. Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, because I heard on NFL Live last night. That at best, what was being offered was either the Broncos or Tampa Bay's second and not the first.
Well, it might be, but here's where this whole thing fell apart for the Patriots. When the Vikings got Rosenfels, it stopped Detroit and Vikings being competitors for Castle. It took the pressure off Detroit of saying, we got to get him or the Vikings are going to get him. And so, it wasn't as... urgent for the Lions because they weren't competing with another team in their same division for the guy anymore.
But it's not just about the division. It's about...
It is.
Is he the best quarterback available, and are there 16
But I don't think they weren't in a rush anymore.
No,
there was no rush.
I disagree. I'm with Andy on that. If Detroit wanted him, what does Minnesota have to do with it?
Oh, I think if Minnesota got in a bidding war, now you're talking first.
But you're talking about a team that went 0-16 and a team that's trying to win a Super Bowl.
If they felt like he was the guy they needed, they needed to still feel
but
that way.
It's about the market. No. How many teams
I'm
wanted
Matt
Castle?
I'm telling you, Sage Rosenfels going to Minnesota changed the changed the landscape for Castle.
But
it may have, but not for the reason you're talking about.
I agree with that. It took Minnesota out of the mix.
Right.
Yeah. But
and it affected Detroit's thinking.
No effect.
Absolutely.
No effect.
Absolutely.
But you're telling me now that Minnesota, in the span of less than a week, decided that Rosenfels was their guy and now is deciding that Cutler is their guy. Because now there's that. That's the talk. They want Cutler.
I mean, Rosenfels
oh,
isn't making all that
yeah.
much money.
Really? I didn't know that.
Right.
He's a good backup to have.
But if getting Rosenfels precluded you from being involved in the Castle sweepstakes.
They didn't want Castle, I don't think.
Well, that's my.
Or at the value. Whatever the.
Well, that's my point. Either they didn't want him at all.
Or at the value.
Or at the value.
Right.
No, they didn't want to give Castle $75 million. They don't mind paying Jay Cutler that money.
Well, plus they're not even going to have to pay him because he's still on the end of his rookie deal. You have a couple of years to figure out, is he your franchise quarterback? And, oh, by the way, you might have won a Super Bowl by then because he's a Pro Bowl talent with more experience.
It's a strange situation, no doubt, because they just traded and acquired a quarterback. But Andy's right. Things have changed.
Sage Rosenfels is not making franchise
starter
money.
He makes good backup money.
Well, and if you think you're a Super Bowl contender, it certainly doesn't hurt to have Jay Cutler starting
and, Andy,
and a couple million-dollar backup quarterback with starting experience.
You made a good point, though,
about
the money. You know, this could be less about what his value is in trade picks as to what you're going to have to pay this guy, you know, Castle. Because he's got $14.5 million in his pocket. He's going to want at least that in some kind of guaranteed money.
Well, that's the other question. Is he going to sign a deal or is he going to play it out in Kansas City?
Maybe the biggest factor that teams were thinking, it's not, we have to give up a first-round draft pick. It's what are we going to have to pay him?
Mm-hmm. We said all along that was clearly a factor because you were requiring the right to sign a guy to a $65 million contract with 20-something million guaranteed.
Right.
That was clearly a factor in this whole process. If he had 4 years left on some deal, you definitely would have got a first-round pick for him.
I think it's also fascinating what inadvertently or intentionally what's happened to McDaniels and the Broncos and all this.
Josh McDaniels' coaching career ended.
I mean, it's
incredible. I said to Paul, Eric, you weren't here yesterday. You didn't make it in. At the Combine, when I joked about had I been with another team covering the Combine and saw McDaniels, I would have said no chance. Now that I've seen what he's done with this whole Cutler situation, I say no chance.
I mean, he
bungled it.
But he made the biggest entry into free agency. He was signed Dawkins. He was signing all these guys.
Dawkins, great signing.
I mean, he was really the talk of free agency
for
the first 2 days. And then he's acting all brash. He says, all right, I'm going to go get my guy, Castle. Too little, too late. And
which
then,
is fine if you get Castle as long as it goes through.
Exactly. If it goes through, he looks like the young
It's like Deidre telling me, you know, I've been flirting with this girl, and I think I got a chance with her.
Oh, really?
I better make sure.
Does she live like 7 miles away from the stadium?
You got to make sure that deal goes through before you start kicking the other to the curb. Michael, are you still there?
I was wondering if I could make a couple more questions, and then I'll let you keep on debating.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure you guys talked about this, but I don't know. Jason Taylor?
Yep.
And is there any chance of any of the evaluations that you guys made that you took a look at Brian Rubisky, the wide receiver out of Ohio State?
Yeah, we talked to him at the Combine.
Nice player.
Yeah, he's all right.
Do you think he's worth a second rounder? One of our three second rounders?
Might be a little high.
I don't love him.
But we haven't seen his tape yet.
I like him more than Andy, it sounds like.
Rounder, yeah. If I have three of them, I'd sure feel happy. But
isn't that about where he would be slated to go?
Yeah, I think he's a second. But I think a lot of receivers get overrated.
That's
yeah.
true.
I think he has a ceiling. I don't think he's ever going to be a number one receiver in the NFL.
You have a ceiling on him?
We don't need a number one receiver.
Well, we will in a year or two. And if I'm drafting a guy, I'm projecting. I'd like a guy that comes in like Santonio Holmes, contributes, number one receiver.
All right, guys.
All right.
Devices.
All right, Michael from Puerto Rico chiming in.
And we talked about Jason Taylor. We think on the field it'd be a good fit. The question would be, would the money and the questionable dedication to the game fit in?
How long are you getting him for? What's he going to be like?
Will he show up at any point prior to July 23rd?
Which is why I like the Peppers thing.
On that outside linebacker hole that I
now it's comparing 2 years at like $4 million to 8 years at $15 million.
Are you looking, with Vrabel gone, are you looking for a guy that's going to be on the field for three downs, or are you looking for more of a pass rusher? What are you looking for? Now, is Adalius Thomas a guy that you're going to depend on for every down out there?
Yes.
I would hope so.
As long as he doesn't
for
break
the money
his arm.
You gave him. Yeah, you did last year.
Yeah, right. Adalius Thomas, every down. Gerard Mayo,
every down.
Yeah. Now I got two spots
the
to fill.
The other two are in flux.
So you're okay with a guy like Taylor who might turn into really just a pass rusher.
If I can have Woods and Taylor rotating through, maybe that works. I think there's a chance if you sign Jason Taylor, he plays every down for you. I think he's still a very good player. I think last year the injury, the freak calf thing screwed him up. I think he was probably misused under that poor coaching staff in Washington. I think Bill would maximize him. But I'm not sold that he can't play three downs anymore.
Yeah, he probably could. I would take that if that's all we could get, but I would want to make more of an effort to try to go after Peppers. Because I think
Eric has a man crush on Julius Peppers, apparently.
That's not accurate.
Well, I think, you know, it's intriguing just to think of him on the Patriots. You know, I know he's never played linebacker in a 3-4, and it is a lot of money, but his athletic ability.
Yeah, I have the
miscast.
Eric doesn't want to say it. I'll say it. I have the man crush on Peppers.
He's kind of ugly.
Those kind of freak athletes to me, those are the ones that I tend to be intrigued with. I'd love to see Bill Belichick have the ability to take a guy like that and work him into his system and see the different things that he can do. In the end, Andy might be right. Maybe he just doesn't have the skill set that would allow him to play off the ball, standing up at times, dropping into coverage, setting the edge on running plays, as well as rushing the passer, which we all know he can do.
Right.
Maybe Andy's right on that. I would like to see.
Sounds like he thinks
the
he
chance
can,
to have him do that.
But he thinks he can do everything.
The big question, though, to
can't
me,
be any
the
bigger
only,
than Matt Roth, by the way.
The only drawback to me is that's an awful big price tag that you're going to have to deal with, and I don't know if the Patriots are willing to do that.
Yep.
And I don't know if they should be willing to do that either. I'm not necessarily. I didn't want to make that open ended like I was.
Would
criticizing.
Be more feasible. I mean, Adalys Thomas was supposed to be that guy.
Yep.
You know, the money is bigger for Peppers because he's younger, but Adalys Thomas was your splash at $35 million, and he's kind of been a disappointment.
I agree.
He's just been
for that.
A guy. Right. If Julius Peppers comes in
and
starts every
like
game
Adalys
and has
Thomas,
like five sacks, I'll say he's a disappointment.
He's a disappointment.
If I bring
like
Julius
Adalys
Peppers
Thomas,
in, I want 14 and a half sacks. I want tipped ball interception. I want a forced fumble. I want defensive player of the year nominee.
When Willie McGinnis was playing. Remember when Willie McGinnis was at his best?
No.
You know, we never thought.
USC?
We never thought that he was a great player, you and I, Andy. But we have to admit that there were some standout plays that, you know, and you just mentioned something that's kind of subtle. The tipped pass that ends up being an interception. McGinnis did that often.
He's long.
He was long. Well, I think Peppers has got that
he's
same
long
kind
too.
Of.
That's why you like him, right?
I think Peppers was starting to show
He's just a pig.
What?
Why do we have him
on
the
need length at outside linebacker.
Just stop.
It's part of the
just
position.
Stop.
It's
that's
part
she said.
Of the position.
Look, I think that Adalys Thomas was starting to show that what his role was going to be last year before he got hurt, where, you know, Patriots kind of, you know, do their thing on defense, and then they unleash a guy like, you know, Thomas, and he makes a play. Like, early in the season against the Jets, you know, Thomas wasn't really the factor in that game. Bruschi was having a great game. Other guys were having great games. And all of a sudden, they unleash Thomas, and he sacks Brett Favre like 20 yards back.
Thomas played very well in the short time that he played last year.
Yeah. And I think
much better than he did in his first year.
Right. And I think we would have seen even better things from him as
probably.
The season went on.
But we were sold on, kind of like we're talking about Peppers.
Right.
Freakish, ridiculous, these guys that are 200 and, well, for Peppers, 90 pounds, but 275 or whatever for Thomas.
In the book.
And he plays higher than that, I've been told by sources.
Okay.
But Thomas has, to me, he's been a good outside linebacker. He hasn't been, wow, I've never seen a guy that big do that. I mean, he's just, you know, when he covers a tight end or a running back, I see him running a step behind the tight end or the running back, not like in his back pocket
like
because
Eric Alexander
he plays
was.
Safe right. I mean,
when
I haven't been wowed.
When he took that interception back in week two against San Diego, when his first year ago, that's a wow. We thought we were going to get
that. That was a wild play, and the one that Fred just mentioned against the Jets where he knocked over Leon Washington.
I thought I'd have a few more wows by now.
As he grabbed Favre and one-handed spun him down. That was a wild play.
Right.
But, you know, you don't want to be.
And he's no more.
You don't want to be on one hand counting the wild plays.
No.
With
a wow guys.
You backed up the Brinks.
If I get a wow guy like Mike Vrabel when I signed him as a free agent and he's a nobody and he develops into a wow, that's nice.
But I'll tell you, though, that
wow's
guys that make
money.
Wow plays are usually on teams that aren't 3-4s. And, you know.
I disagree with that.
Well,
outside linebackers are wow positions.
The Patriots
the
Teddy, I'll take
Harrison?
An inside linebacker. Teddy Bruschi has made a lot of wow plays over the years.
James Harrison made a lot
James
of wow plays.
James Harrison makes a lot of wow plays.
Yep.
But the way that the Pittsburgh Steelers run their 3-4s different than the Patriots.
That's fine, Fred.
They unleash guys. They do a lot more zone blitzing.
Are you telling me that Adalys Thomas hasn't had chances to rush the pass?
I'm saying that the Patriots system and defense isn't really like, you know, freelance. It isn't a lot of freelance.
I'm not asking
freelance. You know,
no one's asking anybody to freelance.
Let's rush linebackers.
I'm asking you to be an athlete. Yeah. When you're covering a guy, you can be in his back pocket instead of chasing.
That's different.
When you hit a guy, you can pop a ball out.
That's different. But I'm just
some guys have a knack for making plays. Look at Jason Taylor's stat line. He's made wild plays. He's made wild plays in a 3-4 playing for Nick Saban.
Same system.
Not as many as he did when he was playing in a 4-3.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Were you at that game?
Can you find the year when Paul said he sucked and I had to embarrass him and undress him in front of a crew of media?
First of all, I never said he sucked. I said he was overrated.
You know, I interpret things my own way, but Jason Taylor makes wild plays. He's made wild plays in different systems. He's made wild plays in the system they play here. A lot of them.
Well,
because guys that are playmakers make plays. They hit people. They get the hands on the ball.
I understand what you're saying about the 3-4 systems, but I think we sometimes, and I'm guilty of this too because of Richard Seymour, sometimes I think we give them complete free passes when they don't make any plays because, quote unquote, that's not the system.
Right.
There's nothing in the system, and Bill has chastised me for this in the past when I've talked to him about it. There's nothing in the system that precludes these guys from making more plays, from tackling the guy with the football, as he often says. That's the number one goal of any defense,
right,
is to make sure you get the guy with the ball down on the ground.
Right, but
there's nothing
but that
in that.
Define as
no
one,
one freelances.
Wow,
James Harrison doesn't freelance. They have a system that they run. Yes, they do zone blitz more than the Patriots
and it
do.
Gives
that's
guys
a, that's a,
opportunities like Harrison to make.
Well, how about
wild
the play
plays
in the Super Bowl that Harrison made? Is that freelancing?
No, I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying even in a system of zone blitzes, it gives guys opportunities.
Why?
To make those wild plays, right, because they're blitzing.
Well, then what did Lawrence Taylor do all those years?
Oh, well, he did whatever the hell he wanted.
Oh, okay.
Ask Parcells. He came off the.
I get to give Tully Bantakane credit. He apparently has a free pass here to not make plays. I mean, that's just the way the system works. We don't
that's
our defense
point
is designed to not make plays.
That's my point. So, when these guys end
it's
up with
a difference
four or
between
sacks,
making the play in front of you and the wow play that you're talking about.
No,
sometimes the
about
wow play is in front of you and you make it. You dislodge
but
the ball.
But that's fine.
Fred,
if a daily star is
Teddy Bruschi,
Teddy Bruschi has made more
wild
plays for this team than anyone.
Over
he plays
years
a gloryless inside
okay
linebacker position
right
where
the
he
ball
has a knack,
take
the
ball
on
ball,
Dominic
Rose,
take the ball,
right,
can be in the right place
right
to make the interception, have instincts.
Give me an example of a Teddy Bruschi wild play.
Taking the ball out of Dominic Rose.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Half his interceptions.
More than half his interceptions. The interception of Jay Fiedler. In the snow game here in the 12-0
yes
game. That's
those
a
are wild
plays.
Physical plays.
Just by doing
where his
your job.
And
his ability
and
come
I guarantee
together
you.
Just by
okay
doing your job.
Teddy Bruschi's been here how many years?
212.
Okay.
12?
If Adalys Thomas was here for that many years, he'd have as many wild plays.
But Fred, my point is, we were sold on Adalys Thomas being a wow player who was worth the $35 million Brinks
okay
truck that Bill said they backed up
and,
to
and
his house.
And
I don't think Bill brought him here to have a half a sack.
Look, I guarantee you, if Adalys Thomas is here for another 5 years, he'll have wow
he'll
plays.
He'll be 42.
He'll have your idea of wow plays. But I'm
Fred,
just saying that, you know, when you look at the total NFL, the Patriots defense is a little bit different. Guys
yes
have jobs. Do your job. They're not looking for guys, you know, that
okay
like Zach Thomas that goes all over the place and are just, you know, hopefully they get let loose by the front, you know, four
right,
and they could do whatever they want and just go and
I'll
go,
give you
go
an,
to the
can
ball.
I, can
wait,
I give,
can
ahead,
I give a quick example? I just want to tell you, Gerard Mayo has wowed me and he doesn't have a crooked number in any of
okay
those
okay what's
columns
his wild play this last year?
His wild plays to me
tackle
are when I see a dump off pass to a running
really
back and he shot
plays
out of, will you listen? When they dump the ball off or throw a screen pass, Gerard Mayo gets from
Mayo
3 yards on the defensive line of the scrimmage to 3 yards into the backfield on the offensive side of the ball faster than a lot of guys. He's Troy Polamalu. He reads that play,
that
and he's shot out of a cannon. That wows me.
I
haven't seen a lot of Adalys Thomas wows.
I have two things I want to add to what you
I
talked about.
Just spiraled
yeah
out of control
you
quickly.
No, but it's
really
interesting
heated here.
No, it's not. It's just.
I haven't mentioned Matt
it's just
Castle
football.
We
did,
saw that.
Adalys Thomas is like, hey, they traded Matt Castle for just a two.
Adalys Thomas,
at
in my opinion, Fred, when did Teddy Bruschi start making wild plays? I would say 2002, maybe.
Okay.
When he kind of really felt himself as a linebacker. You know, 2002, 2003, Now, that's when he kind of talked about he made a big play on Thanksgiving against Detroit on an interception. That
he had that streak of like
about,
four straight picks. Right.
He
returned
he talked about that play was really
he scored a touchdown.
That was the play he talked about. He really felt like he had arrived as a linebacker when he made that play in Ford Field on Thanksgiving. Adalis Thomas should have arrived here at that level already. He's a Pro Bowl linebacker already. Teddy Bruschi was a defensive lineman who was a special teamer, who was making a transition, played sparingly, started some games when Belichick got here in 2000, 2001. Adalis Thomas arrived here. He should have been at that level.
I just don't think, you know, I think that, you know, Bruschi's made those plays, absolutely, and he's been in a lot of big, important games and had those opportunities. I just don't think, I don't remember the Patriots defense being that type of wow defense. They never had that guy that, you know, like a Julius Peppers or a Lawrence Taylor, you know, or what we thought Willie McGinnis was going to be when they drafted him, that make those type of plays. And especially when Belichick got here, you know, his system, one year it's bend but don't break, you know, and they're not that type of risk-taking defense where you get the wow play as a result.
Yeah, see, that, you're, only, miss, you're just you're. Yeah. I think you have a difference of opinion than Andy and I on what a wow play is.
Like, I do. I might.
You think you have to be reckless and be out of control to make a wow play?
No.
I just mean like when a guy it's first and 10 on the first play of the game from the 20-yard line, and they're handing the ball off to the running back up the middle, and bang! As soon as he gets the ball, he's met by an inside linebacker.
You can have a wow play in the running game easily.
That's a meaningless run for no yards. It's now second and 10. There's nothing reckless about that.
Or as I said about the screen pass.
He didn't blitz. He read his keys and made the play. He shed the guard and made a play. That's all I'm saying.
Ted Johnson made a lot of wild plays.
And running plays?
In his style, yeah.
And running plays,
you can have a wild play at
any
position.
He had a lot of
wild
hits over his career.
Well, if that's your definition of what a wild play is, then okay.
Well, to me, but it sounds like your definition of a wild play is a guy who has, you know, complete reckless abandon and discards his assignment to try to go make a play on the football.
No, I think a definition of, like, you know, Reggie White, you know, going around and just
knocking over Max Lane.
And
that's a wild play.
That's a wild play.
Nothing out of control about
that. He did
his
job on the play.
You're the one saying it's out
of
control.
But you keep saying the Patriots.
I'm not saying it's out of control.
But that's a perfect example. You keep saying the Patriots defense isn't designed for that. Why can't Richard Seymour knock over the tackle that's blocking him and go and make a sack? That's a wild play.
Well, that's a good point. But, I mean, the year that everyone thought he was one of the best defensive linemen in the league, we're all like, it must be true because all these assistant coaches and other teams say
Richard Seymour was a pretty good player.
He's a good player.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but he does it without making wow plays.
But he's a defensive lineman. I'm talking about a linebacker.
You just made my point.
No, outside linebackers, Fred, are wild players. In that system, in Bill's system, that's the lifeblood of his defense.
I'll bet you.
And by the way, same system was used in Dallas under Parcells, and DeMarcus Ware found a way to make a lot of wild plays.
I'll tell you this.
Crazy, out of control.
I'll tell you this. No, see, it's not out of control.
But that's what you keep saying.
No, I don't.
You say they don't take chances, and that doesn't allow them to make wild plays.
Look, zone blitzing, okay, it takes a chance. That's not out of control. That's what I'm saying. It's a little riskier. It's not out of control.
You want to see them blitz more.
I'm not saying what I think they should do, but I'm saying it even in a 3-4, okay? And I'll bet you Belichick will back me up. You're looking for that guy like a Lawrence Taylor or an Andre Tippett.
Or an Adalis Thomas.
Yeah, that's why they signed
hold
AD.
On now. But those guys are rare finds.
And you pay them $30 million.
Right.
Exactly.
Guaranteed.
Right.
That's what we thought we were getting with
AD.
I'm not saying he is stunk.
But Eric just made a good point. That's what we thought we were getting. Maybe it's our fault. Maybe we were wrong.
What we were sold.
But I think the difference with Thomas.
I don't know
when
if you know, Chad Johnson once got blocked into a Gatorade
we
table.
Thomas, okay?
I heard that story.
When we signed Adalis Thomas, the thing that we were all saying and everyone else was saying, not, oh, my God, this guy is a sack master. We were saying this guy is versatile. Mm-hmm. He can do anything.
Yeah, but have you seen that?
Well, yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think that in the second year in our system, I think he got hurt, and I think we were seeing it early last year.
But I think it's not just sacks that
weren't seeing it.
Very, very little of it.
I wasn't so much thinking that we were going to get sacks on every play from AD. I was thinking we were going to get sacks, we were going to get forced fumbles, we were going to get interceptions.
We were going to see versatility.
We were going to see
an
a lot
athletic
of
athletic guy who was around the ball all the time, right. Whether it was a pass or a pass.
Andy brought up something
everything.
Early in this conversation about covering tight ends. I've seen no indication that he covers a tight end any better than anybody else they've had cover tight ends. And I thought that he was going to stand out in that department
so
as his versatility.
Yeah.
I thought Dallas Clark...
Oh, yeah.
No more.
Yeah, would have had no
chance. Well, I haven't seen that. I've seen him a step behind just like everybody else was a step behind. The only guy I saw that really handled Dallas Clark was Rodney.
Rodney Harrison in that regular season game
they told
in 07.
Wherever Dallas Clark goes, go with him.
And he did it, though.
Right, yeah, he did it, even on running plays.
Right.
He was running downfield with him.
Whatever, that was his role.
No,
that
I know.
His job.
I understand completely.
You know?
But this isn't meant to be a Dallas Thomas sucks hour.
No.
It's just we're talking about potentially adding wow players, a Jason Taylor or a Julius Peppers for Eric.
Yeah.
But Thomas was supposed to be that wow player. It's sort of like Colvin, I think. And I never had this impression, but I think people expected Colvin to be a wow player.
Oh, absolutely.
They did.
Absolutely.
Let's cut him some slack.
But even before the injury, I'm not even talking about the injury. Yeah. I'm talking about he wasn't ever that ridiculous edge rusher, too quick,
beat a tackle. We thought he was going to be a rusher.
And
you know?
he had had 10.5 sacks a couple years in a row, but was not blessed with elite physical tools like a Taylor or a Peppers.
He doesn't have the strength, it seems.
Or to me, I never thought he had the burst, even before the injury. Now, admittedly, we saw two games and we had two sacks.
Right.
But I never thought he had that burst that can't be stopped. That, you know, Dwight Freeney, when you watch the snap of the ball, he looks like a guy that has burst.
Right.
And he makes good on that. He gets sacks. He's undersized, but he makes it work. James Harrison has burst.
Yep.
I don't see burst a lot in Colvin or Thomas or McGinnis.
Freeney
see burst.
Freeney has, like you said, burst and uncanny quickness for a guy, even at his size.
Right.
He's a little small.
The moves.
Harrison has burst and strength as well. He can bull rush you, and he can go around you. I mean, he's, again, that's what you're looking for. That's that rare Reggie White type where it's a combination of speed and strength. Where on one play, you bull rush the guy, and he's ready for that in the next play, and then you spin around him.
And isn't that what you'd expect from Julius Peppers?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. But I guarantee you, if by some miracle the Patriots get him, he's not always going to be rushing the passer in the system.
No.
And that's what worries me.
I don't think
because if he's always rushing the passer, I think he'd be great. But the other times, I have my doubts at 295 pounds what he can do.
Yep. Every time you talk about him, you put more weight on him. He's 283 in the book.
He's on the Perillo diet.
All right, on the phone right now is Chris with a TIAN. Chris, thanks for holding on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Word of the day, huh?
Yeah, it's a wow day.
It's a wow day.
Wow.
I was absolutely stunned when I heard the news.
Join the club.
I actually heard on EEI, and Glenn said, is that right? Is that name right? And I said, Mike Vrabel. It can't be right, but... I'm kind of disappointed in what they got. Just a second. I think it would have looked better, definitely, obviously, for the Patriots if they got maybe a second. And
I think the Patriots are disappointed with what they got.
Yeah, I mean,
really?
They could have got more. I'm not buying that all of a sudden that he's, you know, you guys have said it 100 times that Belichick always says that it's much easier to release a guy a year earlier than it is later.
Right.
You know, it's if he's on the downside of his career, but, you know, I know he had his shoulder issues and stuff, but he sort of did come on at the end of the year. So I don't know if there's more to it. I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but it just seems like there's more there. It doesn't seem like that it was just, you know, why are you throwing in Vrabel?
Well, again, do you throw him in there and do a favor to Pioli, or do you release him and let Mancini sign him?
I mean, is he about doing favors? You're going to do somebody in the AFC?
Well, you're doing yourself a favor because you hate Mangini so much.
But if,
well, I mean, but you're dumping salary, too. I kind of don't buy that because I think he can do anything with the cap. But, I mean, you know, maybe Vrabel's the type of guy, if they did ask him to restructure and he went to restructure, say, screw you. I don't know. I don't know what type of guy he's like. He just seems like he's very opinionated and stuff. And maybe
he is very opinionated, and that could be a factor. I mean, he's a union rep, and you got a lot of, possible turmoil down the road with this whole collective bargaining agreement coming up. Yeah. You know, depending on who the union chooses as their leader, this could get really ugly.
But do you think that really played a role?
I think it may have.
I really hope that none of that stuff that we just talked about played a role.
Yeah,
we tried to keep him away from Mangini.
Yeah.
We, you know, it had something to do with his opinionated nature. I really hope that.
I agree with you.
I really hope it was only football.
But definitely keeping him away from another team, I absolutely could see that.
So you try to keep him away from one of the worst teams in the AFC. That was your goal?
You don't want to help that team in any way? Because you hate them.
Why do we hate Cleveland? What's so bad about Cleveland?
Mangini.
Okay.
It's not the Browns.
As long as we've really thought about it.
I agree with you, Christian, though. I think it would have been nice to get something else in that trade.
whether it was a fourth or fifth, a sixth round pick, something.
Yeah, something. Because I mean,
you know,
listen,
a next
right
year
now,
pick,
even a seventh.
Well,
yeah. Or a conditional.
An eighth.
A conditional, maybe 2010 pick. Who,
yeah,
you know, something.
I mean, because now, as it stands right now, Casey got the better deal. Like a 2-for-1. They traded two known players. I mean, the Patriots freed up, you know, what, $18 million on cap, but this 2-for-1.
Yeah.
Basically, you traded for an unknown commodity and this high second round draft pick. So now, the whole thing depends on what he does with the 34th pick. Does he trade it?
No.
Do they move up into the first round, do you think? Or if they stay there, they better draft a guy like a Deion Branch or Vince Wilfork to impact player, because if it's a Chad Jackson or a Bethel Johnson, it's a horrible trade.
Now, let me ask you this, Christian. Would you have felt the same way you feel now if that one pick were the number 3 pick overall instead of the 34 pick?
Yeah, yes. Because I don't buy the pot either. That, oh, they don't want any part of it, that they wouldn't do anything with the money. You know, it's too much. They don't want to deal with it. The money, there's too much to guarantee. Who says they can't move it?
Well, that's right. We agree with you that that's money in the bank.
If they could have gotten the number 3 pick, they would have taken
absolutely
the number 3 pick.
Absolutely.
I agree with all you guys on that.
I know a lot of people are saying that those top picks are toxic because of the money, but if you got it, you take it. Absolutely.
But to me, the trade is still for that pick, not who you end up taking.
Right, right.
Because
right.
There's so many different variables that go into who you end up with.
That's negotiable. You know,
it's a bargaining chip.
Yeah,
you know, or you use it and you draft a player.
I think the biggest problem is the expectations. Everybody expected a first round. If everybody had said all along, I think you can probably get a third, maybe a second for Castle,
and
everybody would be
like,
second.
And they got a high second.
In the end of the day, they turned a seventh round pick who hadn't played in college into a high second round pick. Not bad.
They turned a guy who wanted to cut in August into a second round pick.
So if they had decided just to, you know, to use that, and admittedly, this is, you know, kind of being a little bit of a smart ass, but if they decide to keep Castle and trade Brady and they got a second round pick, would you say they took a sixth round pick and got a second round?
No, because he's
that's not bad.
I think he's done a little bit more than Castle in the league.
I understand. That said, I'm being a little bit of a smart ass, but
why do you have to go there?
He wasn't the seventh round pick who didn't play in college anymore. He was a starting NFL quarterback.
But even when
you
he only
him.
Played 1 year.
Right, but is he not
Tom Brady has played since 2001 and won 3 Super Bowls and the league MVP.
He's
a little different.
He's not on the roster.
He is different
and
than
Brady.
And
he's married now, so he's a married man.
He's not a seventh-round pick
do
anymore.
We know that for sure?
What?
Yet?
No,
yeah.
I don't think so.
No, I think we do. I mean, Us Weekly was threatening lawsuits of the photos on some little fan site.
And to my knowledge, has anybody denied it?
No, I don't think so.
No. I mean, I think someone would have denied it by now.
He should start denying the fact that there were dogs involved in the ceremony.
Yeah.
One final question I had. With the loss of Jabbar Gaffney, now do you think that they'll take a wide receiver on day one?
On day one?
Yes.
Really?
But I've thought all along they needed a receiver. I said, Paul, I don't look at the receiver position any differently now that Gaffney's gone, because
there would have been.
I thought
so. They're going to take another receiver in the second round.
No, I think third round. No.
Branch.
Third round. Yeah. First day.
Right?
Well, Paul, using that logic, you do. You had one good, two bad. You're going to good for a good one.
Yeah, we had Branch, Bethel, and Chad Jackson. Right.
It's time for the good one, baby.
Second round pick.
I thought we only had first and second round on day one now, because it starts later.
That's
and we
right.
Got three. Right. So round three would be a day two pick.
Right. That's right.
Second round.
That's old.
We have four picks on day one. One of them is going to be a receiver. A corner, a linebacker, and a receiver. And then get something else.
Hey, you guys got lunch on Thursday?
I don't know. Do we, Two Gender?
No, but Two Gender probably will blow you off.
I think we'd have one. We do.
No, he doesn't have anything.
I just read an email. The guy wanted to buy lunch.
I tried to get in touch with him. He didn't email me back, though.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, but you tried like an hour ago.
2G, get your ass in gear. If you need lunch, let me know.
I'll email.
All right, Christian, you're the man.
You're the best.
You're the guy. All right.
Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you.
See you.
All right.
Chris with a TIA.
It's better than Christian.
Nobody's better than Christian. All right. Well,
so were we sold a bill of goods? Is that the problem here? The expectations were just way too high?
For?
Castle.
I don't think so. I think that, you know, I think that. Again, I know Paul disagrees with me, but I think
not necessarily. I haven't even heard you say anything yet.
I think the Minnesota thing changed some of Detroit's thinking. I think eventually, if we were willing to wait, we would have gotten a one from Detroit.
I think the Minnesota thing clearly changed the landscape, Fred. Right. I think you're right. I think you're overstating it a little bit to say that it affected Detroit in any drastic way.
Well, they knew they weren't go. That was one less trading person they had to compete against.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah, but so was Chicago and 49ers and
what about the Jets? No one knows what the Jets were thinking.
That's true.
You know, there's a team that needs a quarterback still.
Yeah.
I mean, they say they don't.
They're going to go in with Theo Ratliff as their quarterback?
Yeah,
come on.
That's true. Let's see. On the phone now is John in L.A. John, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Late for
where
him?
You been?
Yeah,
what's
going on?
You're like the fifth caller.
Did you make it into work today, John?
I did not make it into work today.
He lives in a hilly area.
He's in North Providence.
No, I actually don't work on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Oh, wow.
Neither
does
gig
Paul.
If you can get it.
Nice
goes
life.
To
EEI.
Neither does... Maybe just 2G. Just kidding.
He doesn't work any days.
Oh. I'm joking. I love the man.
No, you're not.
Sort of. I joke.
Not
Keed,
that way.
I keyed.
So I'm going to assume. Oh.
He's still there.
No, he's not.
I'm going to assume that we've exhausted the Matt Castle for the number 34 overall.
No, if you have some.
We're still talking about
it. It still rages.
It's out there.
I haven't even gotten to the emails yet.
Plus, we actually argued for Adalys Thomas for about a half hour for some reason.
Mm. Well, all right. Well, first of all, I want to say that aside from that, signing a Jason Taylor or a Ray Lewis is not mutually exclusive to getting younger at linebacker overall. And I don't think that just because we're trying to get young means that we therefore shove aside the philosophy of bringing in a veteran who's hungry and wants
absolutely.
To sort of energize the roster.
You draft a young guy and you bring
sure.
in one of those.
Yeah,
sign
you
Jason
let those
Taylor,
other guys who we have, like Red
Reagan.
And Crable and whoever, see what they can do and give them a little time.
Imagine having Ray Lewis play next to
Mayo?
Gerard Mayo.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
the rumor right now from Holly.
No chance.
Oh, Holly? Really? Holly's saying that?
I'll say no
yeah,
chance.
Yeah, he's saying it like on EEI all morning.
They're determined to just have me just not be involved anymore. They're going to get every bad guy in the NFL that I hate, and they're going to sign him. They're going to bring back Corey Dillon just for good old time's sake.
Ted Washington?
Yeah, but, you know,
God.
Ray Lewis, he's changed. He's
I know. I know. He's a great guy right up until the time he had to plead out.
How big a statement is the Castle trade on Brady's health?
I think it's pretty big.
What about on Kevin O'Connell? I mean, not as big, but, I mean, it's a something, right?
Look, we're talking about $14.5 million they had to get rid of. I think it's a good sign as far as Brady's health goes. I think it's less of a sign of what they think of O'Connell.
I think if Brady can't take a snap in 09, Matt Castle still gets traded.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think if Brady is all set to go on day one of training camp, Matt Castle still gets traded. I really think the two things had nothing to do with it.
I think if they knew that he was...
I know I read your commentary.
Maybe they would have traded Brady. Maybe they would have traded Brady if they knew he wasn't going to.
Turn that sixth-round pick into a second.
Speaking of Brady, last week I read a quote that I found a little amusing, which is Brady saying, "I'm always uncomfortable answering injury questions because Bill never wants me to. He's going to razz me so bad. It is what it was."
Right.
Yeah.
To which I said, if it is what it was,
and what it
you're
shall
infected
be.
Again and you're going to die.
Right.
Because what it was a big problem.
Right. Or,
which
he means
earlier in that same interview admitted.
Right.
Or
you should have seen the look on his face when he said that.
You
no,
should.
But I think I understand what
no,
he
really,
was saying.
Really, you should have.
There was nothing more to it than what I said it was.
I know, but I just love the variation
right.
on the phrase.
It's just, it's back to where it was before the injury. Right. It is what it was.
Yeah. I just feel
maybe.
Like, you know, anything short of Brady being his career being in jeopardy,
amputation.
This doesn't really have anything to do with Castle. They, like you said it, Fred, if it was $14.65 million, they had to get that off the cap. You weren't going to keep him around for insurance for
right,
Brady.
Right.
So whether they thought he was ready or
that's
not,
right.
he was going.
That's right.
He had
Can
to
we
go.
We go from one championship-level quarterback to a quarterback who will never win a championship?
Doug Flutie?
Jay Cutler.
Why?
This whole response in the media, I find to be reflect so badly on him.
He's a baby, no question.
He is a baby.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. You know, before McDaniels got the job, he wanted to be traded when he didn't get his guy in there, Jeremy Bates. And now McDaniels looks to trade him, and he's all up in arms about it. Well, you know, what if McDaniels had reacted the same way?
He's a child.
Right.
You know?
Well, but we don't know the inner workings of conversations. I mean,
but,
there's a good chance Josh McDaniels sold him for a month and a half on "you're my guy,
well, plus,
I'm not trading you, you're our guy, blah, blah, blah." And he buys into that
and
finally
point.
Gets over the first.
It's a good point.
I mean, clearly he is reactionary and emotional, but he may feel a little bit betrayed if he was really told, you're my guy, I'm not trading you. I don't know why you were, I know you liked Jeremy, but blah, 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 let's move forward. We can do something special here. And then he hears, wait, they tried to trade me?
And the word out of there is that McDaniels is trying to convince him that he wasn't being shopped.
Right.
So to me.
Except the word out of Minnesota is.
They're lying.
He's going to Minnesota.
They're lying. You know, so maybe
but
that's.
But if the kid comes out and says, I want to be traded, when he finds out that his coach isn't the one who gets named. And then whether or not Josh comes to him and says, no, 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 you're my guy. The fact that you said, I want to be traded, leaves you open for trade negotiations or trade talks. Whether or not.
I think a lot of guys sulk and get emotional when their coach leaves.
If you say something like that,
if this affects him going forward, Cutler I'm talking about, then.
That doesn't mean
he can't win. He's not the guy that I want.
I mean, Philip Rivers is as emotional as they come. Could he win?
I don't know.
It's a good question, but I think he could. I think Jay Cutler could.
I don't think anyone begrudges Cutler feeling bad or even betrayed. I begrudge him being a little whatever in the media about it. I just think that's lame.
I think it
makes me bummed because he's my favorite NFL diabetic.
Oh, yeah?
Why, are you diabetic, John?
No, I'm not. I have him on my diabetic fantasy team along with Wilfred Brimley.
Okay.
It's the right thing to do.
Wilfred Brimley.
All right, John, we'll see you.
See you later.
All right, John in L.A.
Now, he doesn't live in L.A. anymore, right?
They're showing something on ESPN, which is Greatest Tackles, which to me is just fascinating.
How do they do this? This is number 50, by the way.
Yeah. But it just reminds me that we're in the process here at Patriots.com, because it's the 50th anniversary of the team and the AFL, of coming up with all kinds of lists that we're going to be releasing on Patriots.com every month. And this month in March, it's what? Personnel trades? What is the first list, Paul?
Best NFL webmaster.
Personnel moves.
Personnel moves. So this month, we're going to have the top personnel moves in franchise history. And then every month, we're going to have a different type of list, culminating with greatest moments and greatest games and the greatest team. That'll come later during the season. So it's going to be really, really cool. So I think the first list is March 18th or something like that, that we're going to release
it. 13th.
Next Friday, the 13th.
Yeah, so you definitely want to check out Patriots.com.
All Access will be on. Yeah. Matter of fact, it'll be the debut episode on WBZ here locally.
WBZ. So they'll debut the list there, and then we'll have it on Patriots.com. And what we'll do is we're going to have the list as we created it. Then the fans will be able to create their own list, and we'll see how the two match up. The critics, if you want to call it, list versus the community list, and then you'll be able to comment below on every list. So it's we're trying to do a lot of this stuff for the anniversary, and this is one of them. It should be pretty cool. I think it would get a lot of debate going out there in Patriots Nation.
I would think.
And Paul's in charge.
But not really.
Paul's the list master.
Which is I get overruled too many times to
No, but you're the
charge.
Organizer. You're the organizer.
Community organizer?
Yep.
You could be president
really?
Next.
You're going to get $4 million?
It's a small step. Now.
You're going to get $4
million?
All the entries from like the 60s and 70s.
Going back to the 40s
Paul because he's the only one that remembers those things.
It's true.
You see the little smile he puts on his face?
All right.
I'm all proud of myself here.
Let's take a break. We have a ton of emails. I promise I'll get to them right after this.
MLS soccer action returns to Foxborough as the Revs kick off the 2009 season.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
Be a part of the action all season long as the Revs make another run at the Super Liga Championship and an MLS Cup Championship. Season tickets are now on sale for the 2009 season. This 20-game package features 15 regular season and 5 exclusive soccer matches. The Revs kick off 2009 on April 4th when they take on FC Dallas. See a Super Liga final rematch with the Houston Dynamo. Conference rival DC United's only trip to Foxborough. Be there when the LA Galaxy take on the Revs, the reigning MLS Cup champion Columbus Crew, and many more. Taylor Twellman.
Oh, what a goal by Taylor Twellman!
Matt Reese.
Off the line and saved by Reese.
And the rest of the Revs are set to kick off 09. And you won't want to miss a minute of the exciting action at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS to get your 2009 season tickets. Pride, passion, revolution.
With the 10th pick, the New England Patriots select Jerod Mayo, linebacker, Tennessee.
Last year's draft produced the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. What will this year bring?
Discover the future stars of your favorite team at the 2009 New England Patriots official draft party powered by AutoTrader.com. Saturday, April 25th, watch the draft on huge TVs and enjoy a lunch buffet in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse at Gillette Stadium. Get updates from the Patriots front office and coaching staff throughout the day with scheduled appearances by current and former Patriots players, cheerleaders, and Pat Patriots. Think you're an NFL draft guru? Make your best picks and take part in the mock draft contest for a chance to win a pair of 2009 Patriots season tickets. To purchase tickets or to find out more information about the 2009 NFL Draft Party powered by AutoTrader.com, visit GilletteStadium.com. The 2009 NFL Draft. Who will it be this year? No purchase necessary to participate in mock draft contest. For rules and alternate means of entry, please contact Patriots Events at Patriots.com.
Want to be rewarded just for shopping? At Patriot Place in Foxborough, you can be. Use your already existing Visa cards when you visit New England's most unique destination and earn points while enjoying everything Patriot Place has to offer. The points you earn from shopping, dining, and the entertainment at Patriot Place can be redeemed for amazing rewards, like free admission to the hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon, tickets to Gillette Stadium events, autographed Patriots merchandise, and more. The Patriot Place Rewards Program is the first of its kind. Simply enroll your existing Visa cards. There's no approval and no new card. Enrolling is easy and it's free. Register one or all of your existing Visa cards and you'll get all the benefits associated with your existing card, plus Patriot Place rewards at no extra cost. And every time you shop, you'll be entered to win a $1,000 shopping spree. Visit patriot-place.com to enroll your existing Visa cards today. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
Coming this summer to Patriots.com. It's the ultimate showdown between pro bowler and pro sketcher. All pro and all show. A guy who's played in the Super Bowl and one who's worked at the Super Bowl. It's Gostowski versus Scalavino.
I have to make 6 out of 10 field goals from 35 yards.
I think you can do that.
Oh, I know I can do it. I'm going to do it.
Wow!
Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime event as the current Patriots kicker faces off against the former college football kicker, whose last kick was 15 years ago for a university that no longer has a football program.
But if I start making 6, 7, if I'm in that range, I might switch left-footed just to show
You've seen Ali Frazier, Duke, North Carolina, Red Sox, Yankees, but nothing will compare to this. It's Gostkowski Scalavino, coming this summer to Patriots.com.
All right, back here at PFW Progress. Eric, what is the update on the Scalavino-Gostkowski kickoff?
We haven't heard word one from Gostkowski since the last game of the season.
Wow, so he didn't
He's clearly ducking him.
He was supposed to give us a Pro Bowl
He was
thing,
supposed
nothing?
To give us something. Something.
So we should get some word to him that...
We did. We had the PR department try to track him down, and he has not responded.
I thought I saw him yesterday, or 2 days ago, driving in.
Did you ask him what's
Maybe
up?
Maybe you did.
Yeah. So, all
if
right.
If you see him, ask him.
Well. Okay, we got to get that going, though. We can't let our fans down.
Don't
They're counting
worry
on
about
this
it.
Thing.
It'll
don't,
happen.
Don't you worry about it. Well, so far, everything that was supposed to happen hasn't happened.
Like you
so
work on Mondays.
Oh, listen to you. You took, like, every Monday off last offseason.
It's
you
called
remember
vacation
that?
Time. Yeah, I filed it with the HR department. Kind of like your six-month trip to Italy or wherever
did.
The hell you go every offseason.
Egg pipe.
Where are you going this year?
I'm not going anywhere this year.
Really? The economy?
The hills of Providence.
No, I have a little medical thing I have to try to take care of.
Oh, so. Really? Anything you want to talk about?
No.
He's okay. going to become a man.
Oh, really?
He's a man, baby.
Hey, on the phone is Anthony from Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
Pretty good, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Is the Hall of Famer there?
Hall of Fame? Which one? Well, Paul Perillo or Eric Scalavino?
There's only one in this
I'm
room
in the
my
Hall
friend.
Of Fame.
Oh, no. The true and only Hall of Famer, Paul Perillo.
Paul is
I'm
here.
I'm here, Anthony.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to call and say I think I called you on EEI, Paul, and where I made my prediction about Jason Taylor getting released and being signed by the Pats. Do you recall?
I don't, but certainly I hope I didn't make fun of that because I – would think that was a reasonable possibility.
Yeah, Paul just wasn't listening to you at the time, that's all.
Yeah, apparently he wasn't listening.
Did I laugh at you?
You guys kind of poo-pooed me like when I got off the radio. I said, prediction.
Oh, that's my style.
Well, see, Glenn might have poo-pooed, and then Paul just went along.
Right, that's all that Paul
well,
does
no,
on this
it was
show.
On Sunday
no, this would have been with Felgi.
Paul.
He always calls on Sundays with Felgi.
Yeah, because Felgi's a douche, but anyway.
Oh!
Don't you miss those Friday sessions with Fred and Felgi, though? That was good stuff.
Give me a break.
Friday night fights.
Yeah, this ball that he threw had nothing to do with his sports, Hernery.
I'm also calling to see, is everybody kind of disappointed only the second round pick, or what's the feeling out there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm disappointed,
A little bit.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something, guys? I'm not disappointed. Yeah, you gotta keep it in perspective. You know, you got this guy in the seventh round. You know, you're getting this, everybody was crying for him to get cut in the beginning of the year.
Right.
You know, and you got to think about it. The other GMs in the league, they're not dumb. They said, you know what? He was surrounded by a great offensive scheme and players.
The thing that disappoints me is there were two players involved and one draft pick. If it were two and two, I would have been fine.
But you know what? I believe the stories out there that Vrabel was probably going to get cut. He didn't do much of anything last year, guys.
Well, whether or not that's true, that's not something Bills should be discussing with the GM of another team right now. He should be saying, "I'm giving you two players."
Yeah, but to me,
the
Vrabel thing to me is a head scratcher. Like I said, you know, it could be something as petty as they just didn't want Mangini or the Jets to sign him. I think fans have a right, and I can understand being disappointed that you only got a second for Matt Cassel.
It was a top second. It's only two spots away from the first.
I understand, but with the teams that we thought might be in the mix, Minnesota or Detroit, you know, maybe Tampa Bay, you know, we thought that maybe there'd be a first out there, and I can understand. At the end of the day, you're right. You know, getting a high second pick is not a bad thing, but you know, he wasn't a seventh round pick anymore. He was a guy who had went 11-5 and thrown for almost 4,000 yards and 20 touchdowns. You know, so it's like saying, you know, your 401k, when you started that out, you had nothing. And then it builds up because of interest, and now you lost it with this thing.
Well, I had nothing.
I had nothing. You know, I started with nothing. You're still disappointed
except that he adheres to that theory. It was a seventh round pick, right, and they traded him.
Speaking of Barack Obama,
it's a great analogy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know what? I mean, they won out in the end. And, you know, you never know the whole story with Vrabel. Maybe, you know, sometimes people just get sick of working in a certain environment. Maybe he wanted to go. You never know.
Maybe. I mean, we don't know.
I still would have liked to have gotten something.
Yeah, but I don't care. I don't care so much about Vrabel. I don't understand why they did it.
Clearly, they were going to release him anyway.
Sleep over that.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not losing sleep.
I'm not losing sleep. I'm surprised. I'm really, really surprised by it. I didn't see it coming at all.
And you know what I think added to the surprise for us is the fact that on Friday we heard about Vrabel first.
Right.
So we were conditioned to saying, "Oh, okay, what did we get for him?"
Right.
And
then
we realized
an undisclosed draft pick.
Right. And then we realized, "Oh, wait, he's just part of Castle's deal."
Right. Yeah.
That was what I think added to the whole confusion, obviously. You know?
Yeah.
I've been called. Can you say on here?
Well, go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead.
That was a mistimed two-gender drop-in right there.
He stinks.
Okay. I just heard a beep. I thought something was happening.
He's just pressing buttons back there randomly.
He's messing up again, 2G.
See, 2G doesn't have a system. He takes risks not within the system. That's why you hear all the beeps.
His own blitzing.
But he has no wow play.
High risk, high reward.
And he doesn't make the wow play.
He has
no
wow
to see the reward. Right.
Yeah. Now, my biggest what I'm really curious about, how serious and if they're going after Julius Peppers, and what is Carolina thinking? What do you think Carolina wants? The first and maybe a second, or first and third? Just the first?
No, I think it has nothing to do with that. It has less to do with that and more to do with the
money.
Patriots will not do anything with Carolina until they know that Peppers will agree to a certain type of deal here. There's
right.
no sense in offering Carolina anything until you know you can sign Julius Peppers to a deal that you can afford. So I think that's first things first is talking with his agent, say, look, if we do trade for you, what are you going to sign for? And getting that in place
right.
before and then dealing with the Panthers.
Because you know the Panthers, it's going to be less than two first-round picks because that's the franchise.
Right.
So a first and a third or whatever, you kind of know generally what the
maybe they
the
give
cost.
Him 2 second-round picks for him.
I'd be surprised if that. I think a one has to be in done. Maybe it's a one next year and you keep this year's or something.
Yeah.
But
they have some ammo.
I think you're Carolina, you're getting a one for Julius Peppers.
There's no doubt that the Patriots have something to give in terms of draft picks. They've got ammo now. They've got four picks in the first two rounds.
You know, so they that part of it, I think they can get done. And I think, you know, quote unquote, they can afford that in terms of draft picks. It's the money part that's going to hold this up.
You're right.
You know?
Well, now they got $20 million available. They have the room to extend Wilford.
Oh, they can do it. They can do it. You know, but do they want to spend that much money on Julius Peppers?
Yeah.
You
know?
Or anybody.
If I was them, I'd, you know, re-sign Wilford, leave Seymour, and like let him play out the rest of his contract and see how it is at next year. And I would go after Peppers. I think that would be insane, having Peppers on one side and Dalius on the other. It would just be beautiful to see.
It really would
see more on one side. Oh, my goodness.
It makes your mouth water just to think of the possibilities there.
And to have that dominant defense again. And then the cornerback position, you know, you can make do with those, you know, the second-year guys like Will Height and, you know, Wheatley. And, of course, Hobbs. I just think that was the problem.
You have that front seven with Peppers and I could play cornerback in that system.
Wasn't that the story we were singing at this time last year? Yeah. Asante's gone, but the front seven will be better. They'll pick. Yeah. Thomas is on the outside now for a full season.
Yeah. Rod Mayo
can make do at corner. I didn't see him making do nothing except making do the scoreboard light up.
Gerard Mayo is a year more savvy. You add Peppers.
It has begun,
Thomas
Paul.
Is healthy.
We don't need corners again.
Speaking of the corners, what happened to the Lee Bodden talk?
Corners is the biggest.
Lee Bodden left town without a deal. Says to me, Lee Bodden not going to be a Patriot.
Yeah. Corner's the biggest need still to me.
I agree.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And you address that in the second round with those picks.
Maybe.
You do it again. Yeah. I will be furious if they get a wide receiver again or a tight end with these picks. We still need to address.
Well, they might get at least one. They do have four picks.
Kind of need a wide receiver.
We need a third.
They do need a wide receiver.
We need a third. It's not going to be Sam Aiken.
Even the guy who only caught one pass is gone.
They need some depth at wide receiver, no doubt. You can't just live with Moss and Welker. And I'll tell you the other thing, too, is those guys have been remarkably healthy, especially Moss, who's had a history of being, you know, nicked up here or there with hamstring problems. Both of those guys have played every down.
I really, you know, and this is my cynical nature. Once Brady went down, I really expected Moss a few weeks later to follow with some type of injury. But he played every game.
He followed for a couple of weeks. He just didn't miss any time.
And not only did he play every
just
game,
just a lot of balls.
He played just about every offensive snap. You know, like 80% of the snaps on offense he played. So he was incredibly durable last year.
And Welker has been as well. With the exception of the fourth quarter that he missed against Pittsburgh.
Right, that would have killed most people.
That he got knocked out of. He's played virtually every other snap.
Look, trust me, guys. I'm not saying we don't need more wide receivers. I lost faith in them drafting wide receivers in the top round.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like they'll do better if they get something out of free agency, an experienced guy to come in and just, you know, just mesh with the system. I am sorry, after Bethel Johnson and Chad Jackson, you know, we thought so highly of them.
On the other hand, they did draft Deion Branch and they drafted David Givens, who turned out to be for the Patriots a really good receiver for the quality,
right, Fred,
the value that they got.
And I would say Branch is a better, because they were all second round picks. That's more apples to apples. But Givens was a great pick too. And the one I didn't understand was Bethel Johnson. I didn't see. I was never enamored with him. I told you that during his first training camp. I didn't think he caught the ball very well.
Yeah.
And he ended up giving him more as a returner than
incredible speed
than anyone knew.
But was about it.
Chad Jackson, I was as surprised by him as they were. I thought he was going to be great.
All
right, guys, I'll leave you with that, but I'm praying and wishing for defense in this draft. I think we're good on offense.
We're ready. We're ready.
Agree. I mean, it's got to be defense. I want to see another one like last year where, I know Bill's going to talk about how the draft falls and what's available and all that, but I want to see a defense-dominated draft at the top anyway.
Getting rid of Vrabel, to me, you know, part of that is I know they want to get faster on defense. So I think you're going to see defense. It's going to be another defensive draft.
Outside linebacker.
Yeah. I would someone is at the door.
Hi, this is Lonnie Paxton. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day.
You know he's not on the team anymore, right?
Word of the Day. Let's see what you got.
Finally have a player that does it, and he signs with the Broncos. Son of a bitch. Anyway.
Good money, though.
Great money.
God, unbelievable.
Yeah. Set for life.
Yeah.
Five years, $5 million?
He was kind of already set for life, the way he had his...
But now he's really
set.
But
he's really
set
now.
Anyway, courtesy of the wow topic earlier, we have the wow bow.
The wow bow.
That's
wow bow. Okay.
And it's what Eric does every
weekend. Oh, no. See, now.
And Monday afternoons.
And Monday all day if there's a quarter of an inch of snow on the ground.
We got a foot of snow. What are you talking about, a quarter?
Maybe he got a full 12 inches in his wow bow.
All right.
All right, let's get to some emails.
Hey, did you do your SPFWs?
What SPFWs?
Did you do SPFW this week?
I've got it half done. It's upstairs.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Did you have any interesting questions from anybody?
No, they're mostly about Castle.
No? Well, mostly, right? What were the ones that not about Castle about?
Some Fred Taylor, some Chris Baker, mm-hmm. some Jason Taylor.
Is there anything specific, Eric, that you're talking about?
Oh, I don't know. I thought Andy might have had something interesting he wanted to share with the rest of us.
No? Do you have anything interesting you want to share with the rest of us?
Eric? You want to help him out?
There's nothing sent from anybody about 7 or 8 miles from the stadium that you wanted to talk about?
What happened? All right, fill us
nothing.
In.
No, I don't know. I was just throwing that out there.
What?
It's not that big a deal. It's a groupie.
Some girl thinks Andy's a cutie.
Oh.
But I don't
gave him digits.
How do you know whether it's not just some
address?
Idiot?
You're kidding me.
I'm going with the idiot theory for sure.
Funny. I'm
7, 8 me. You could meet her for lunch.
Can we get my breath out of it?
You know? No one's the wiser.
She specifically said she had.
Except until we talked about it on the radio.
And wants to know if he's single.
Right. I'm going to respond to the email.
He was just like, here, hold this. And I said, okay.
Maybe, Eric, you should respond. But pretend
well, I was no, I was going to respond and say, I'm actually married, but Eric's available.
Child on the way.
Okay.
With another child
on the way. She seemed particularly enamored with you. She specifically said this is only for Andy Hart.
Right.
I mean, you know, sometimes people do confuse us, so maybe they were actually talking about you, Eric.
I don't think you could confuse me and Andy.
First of all three of us are very different. So anyone who actually visually sees us
right,
knows
but
who
maybe
we are.
She only knows us from the radio.
No, she said
she saw him on television.
On TV, she watches, yeah. And okay. She sounds hot.
So, yeah, maybe if you...
She's a dancer. Yeah.
Wow.
Guys are here, obviously.
I don't think strippers kind of dancer. No. I think a professional.
Well, you never know.
They're professionals,
too. You never know, Andy. Maybe she is.
Yeah.
She can perform
a lot of those
anytime.
Dancers double as dancers at night, you know? All right. Let's get to some emails.
Oh, by the way, my son says that now.
What?
All right. Because you always say it, so I've gotten into the habit of saying it. And now when he's, like, being bad in a store, like, he'll scream out loud. I go, all right. So he's been going... And then he ends and goes, all right. In Office Max the other day. Boo-boo tingles.
Let's get to some emails. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio at Patriots.com. Let's see. My name is Ford. I'm writing you from Toronto in Canada.
Is this the guy that wanted to buy lunch?
Yeah.
He says, I've been a huge fan of the show for 3 years now, and I have never written in quite honestly. I have two questions for you. First off, how can I buy you lunch? Just give me the payment details, and your order is on me. The second question is, do you see any potential trade that sends Seymour in a second-round pick to Carolina in exchange for Peppers? Also, tell all the viewers we're sick of hearing about Paul's one-man stand. Yes, it was good, but it was like Castle's time in New England, long gone.
Wow.
Wow.
Ooh, a little anger from north of the border.
And a product of his supporting cast, I thought. I thought Mike Reese and Andy Hart did a fine job.
I agree.
As well as the listeners.
Any chance
I agree.
Of
Andy Hart, that
now, would you do this? Would you give Seymour in a second for Peppers?
Yep.
I would.
Yes.
I would. And
with
I don't,
all the money
and I don't even want Peppers. Yes.
You would do it.
I would.
I think Seymour is
on
the way out the door.
But I think losing Seymour that in would, front of Peppers takes away a lot of what you imagined with Peppers.
That would make it a lot easier to swallow financially. 4 years ago, Fred, I might have agreed with you. Not today, not
do you
so
think Seymour is going to be here beyond this year?
No.
That's a good point. That's a good
That's
point.
Why I right. would do it. That's part of it. I part think it. Seymour is on his way out. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to re-sign Wilfork and extend yourself there financially. Mm-hmm. You extend yourself with Peppers financially, and you can't pay everyone. I know right. there's this huge cap, and we all say you can do what you want. Well, I think when it comes down to it, you're not going to want Richard Seymour for another huge contract.
Mm-hmm. It's something
now,
to think about.
Now, the other part of that is you are getting Seymour in a contract year.
Right.
And would figure to get a very highly motivated Seymour in a contract year.
If he got traded to Carolina in a contract year, I think he'd have a monster year. Whether it was a contract year or not, I think his feelings would be hurt and he'd be out to prove the world that he is better than Julius Peppers. Plus, he'd be in his home area. I don't know how far Rock
Georgia
Hill is, but.
Well, that's one state.
South
over.
Carolina.
Yeah, he's
Did
from
you see
South
that?
Carolina.
And Rock
right,
Hill.
He played at Georgia.
He's from Rock Hill, right? And they cover the Panthers. Isn't there a Rock Hill something that
is
always
he from
has
Rock
clips?
Hill or is Troy Brown?
There's a couple guys from Rock Hill.
Did you see your guy Jim Leonard signed?
With?
Jets.
Oh. I love all these coaches.
Rex
I know
Ryan.
How to build a team. I'll bring the guys I
had. All
the
guys
the
I had.
Let's see. Jason writes in, there has to be more than meets the eye with the Castle trade. I think the Patriots and Chiefs are going to do more together in the future. There was way too much interest in Castle. They could have gotten way more for him. Maybe they're going to ship Maroney out after a Chiefs trade down in the draft. Maroney for a traded down pick or something. Maybe somewhere down the road, you scratch my back, I scratch yours mentality is going on here. It just doesn't make sense to do this trade unless there is something behind the scenes going on.
Anything in his bio says where he grew up? Gadsden, South Carolina is listed as the hometown anyway for Seymour.
Maybe he lives there now? Yeah. He has been tied to Rock Hill. Oh, I know. I forget it.
Let's see.
His wife? Yeah. Mm-mm. Oh, Matt, his girlfriend.
Matt from Boston writes in. Matt from Boston writes in.
There's
says,
no more. Do you think there's more to this? I mean, a player to be named later or a deal to be named later? Or,
no.
It is what it is.
It is.
I mean, I'd like to think that Tony Gonzalez is coming here.
But if that was going to happen, if we were throwing in players that were done with their teams, they would have thrown in Gonzalez when we threw in Vrabel.
I thought, Fred, I thought you and Andy at the very beginning said, I think they might have been able to get more had they waited. You guys made the point that they didn't feel comfortable waiting. I think that's all the other stuff that's, you know, what the underlying.
Right.
That's all it is. It's all. Right. I think it's really quite simple.
Right.
I think
it's like last week when I sold my car and the guy said, I'll give you $1,100. He pulled out $1,100 and I reached out, grabbed it, and said, take the car.
Yeah.
I was looking for $15, but he had $11.
Let's put it this way.
I don't think there's anything really. I don't think there's a hidden mystery to unfold.
Let's put it this way. The Patriots are pretty good at when they need to get some info out there, they can get it out there. They got hammered with this trade initially. If there was something else that would appease fans a little bit, I think we would have heard it by now. Mm-hmm. Like, there might be something coming down the road.
I think we have heard it by now. It was, they got in too late. This is the best way
to do it. No. I'm talking about.
And that's, we get that in the paper, that's going to hit the print. I mean, it's being printed now. Yeah. That's what it is. I think the other teams that were interested, Detroit or Tampa
they were
or
late
whatever,
to the, they were late to the party.
They were late to the party.
And if you're Bill and your prime target was to get rid of Castle quickly to get the cap space and get decent value. He didn't unload him for a seventh. He didn't just give him away.
Right.
If that was your prime objective, you did it. You might have been able to get a little bit more, but there was some risk involved. There's no risk here. You got rid of it. It's done. Move on. Thank you.
And I really think it's as simple as that. Yeah. I think if he was willing to hold out, he may have been able to get more. He
wasn't. A second in the hand is worth two firsts in the bush or something. Something about a bush.
Bird in the hand, two in the bush.
Let's see. Matt from
Second
Boston.
Second in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Matt from Boston says, by now everyone knows about the Castle deal to Kansas City. I'm not surprised. In fact, I expected him to go there. But the first thing that entered my mind when I heard about it was, well, I trade Vrabel by himself for a second-round pick. So to me, it feels like we gave Matt Castle away for free. How much do you think Scott Pioli being in Kansas City affected the deal? Vrabel for a second, forget it.
There's no way you're getting a second.
So
round
if
pick
he
for
thinks Vrabel will go for a second,
no.
Castle be seven firsts.
Yeah, Castle would be Herschel Walker deal.
How are we going to get Peppers?
Right.
If Vrabel was worth a second round pick, eight firsts.
Right. P.S. You guys are great. I got a free soda at Pizzeria Grande.
Hey.
Oh, by the way, we do have to mention if you go to Pizzeria Grande in Walpole on Washington Street and mention this show or Patriots.com, you get a free soda with your purchase.
With price of participation may vary.
Right.
Member FDIC.
Oh, and
applicable tax may apply.
Great solo show a couple weeks ago,
all
Paul.
Right.
The last guy just said to knock it off with that.
Wow, that doesn't mean
we're the guy running the show.
Thank you, Matt.
When's the last time we listened to our
I don't like it.
Our listeners. When do we listen to our listeners?
We're starting to get some feedback in my mic on this side, too, Tootie.
Yeah, there's issues going on. Can you fix something?
He's got his feet up.
Yeah,
he's lounging back.
You're not capable, are you? Do we have someone who knows how to do actual engineering?
This meeting that you had outside the office today, was it a job interview?
He's a phone call away.
One phone call. One call. I could email, too. I mean,
when you do have job interviews, before you get back in, you take the tie off so that people don't know that you were at a job interview.
I'll write your recommendation.
He doesn't
want to
say
it. No, he doesn't want to say it.
Chris from Stamford via the Bronx says, hi, guys, and insert name here. I'll say Andy. I just read something about Hanscom Air Force Base and was wondering if you guys would ever do a live show there. I know you have some fans in the armed forces, and it might be fun to get out and show the love, even if you taped the show, took questions from the audience, and played it later in PFW.
That's a good idea.
I just had this idea and thought I'd share it.
Where's this theoretical audience coming from?
No, but here
military.
Three guys going, woohoo, PFW.
here's what I'll throw out there. In case we might have some guys who, you know, work at or, you know, are stationed at Hanscom Air Force Base, you listen to the show, reach out to your commanding officer and see if they'd be we'll go out. If you guys will have us, we'll do it.
I think it's a great idea.
Can they take me in a like a fighter jet?
Oh, God.
Maybe.
We can barely do a show here.
How would we get a helmet that
you can barely do a show here?
I wouldn't anyway.
You have stomach issues.
I puke all over. You go upside down.
Oh, yeah. You know how the fighter jets have the glass the and it closes. Yeah. They'd have to have a bigger bubble, like the Pope Mobile for Andy. Yeah,
and that would be wouldn't be aerodynamic.
Great kazoo.
They might be able to take off with that.
What is this crackling? It's getting worse.
I don't know.
Useless.
Let's see. Greg writes in.
Everybody now. Eric's too.
Yeah.
It's everything. The wires are crossed.
He says, I was just reading the article on Patriots.com about the late round linebackers that are coming out of college. I was able to watch some footage on some of them, and the two most intriguing guys I saw were Warrell Williams and Jasper Brinkley. I think they have Mayo-esque style to their play and good ball skills. Williams' video seems more intriguing, though, if you watch. He can flat out fly when it comes to chasing the ball carry and can hit like a beast. Your thoughts would be appreciated. Love the show.
Paul really likes Jasper Brinkley.
I do.
I kind of am intrigued by him.
I think he's...
especially where he is now as an undrafted free agent / seventh-round pick.
This is not as a guy that you're going to steal in like the second round
or
something
like that.
No,
but he could be a steal because he has coming off a major ACL injury.
He's a late
had
second
a terrible
round,
last
late
year.
Day pick.
Your stock goes down. All of a sudden, year two, you get back to good health and... You know, you might have the guy next to Mayo who's your run – I mean, he's 260-something pounds. He's a big dude. He's not a sideline to sideline. He's a run stuffer.
He was a big-time playmaker before he got hurt.
And who's to say – you know, last year they had undrafted rookie free agent Gary Guyton. Got a lot of playing time, especially toward the end of the year. If you get a
Maybe
guy
those
like
two are one guy.
Maybe.
Passing downs, running downs,
maybe.
One person.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you've stolen a starter on defense, essentially out of undrafted. Mm-hmm. Although I did want to point out, you had a good quote from the James Andrews story on ACLs and Brady, and it was, you know, like an AP story or whatever. But the quote about when orthopedic surgeons tell you how quick you're going
to
recover.
Add 3 weeks to that?
No, multiply it times three, I think he said.
Was that right? Yeah.
So, you know, they tell you ACL 3 to 6 months.
Hmm.
That's a year and a half. So, I mean, if he's one of those guys that it took the far end, the 18 months to return, maybe you steal something there.
Mm-hmm. Sam from Brighton says,
and
do you guys
done, apparently.
Sam from Brighton says, do you guys remember Mike Vrabel talking about going to London and he said he might not be here next year?
Yes.
Do you think he knew about his last year?
Maybe.
Maybe.
We always took it as like he was considering retirement every offseason, taking the Brewski route. But maybe he knew that they
good
weren't going to swallow the cap number.
Good point, Sam.
Well done, Sam.
Let's see. Matt from Quincy says, if it is the case that they could have gotten more, then who do you think screwed up? Denver, Tampa Bay, Detroit, or another team? Or did the Pats rush in too soon?
I think all three of those teams that were in the mix should have done it earlier.
Well, it's.
I also think the Pats did it too soon.
Maybe. I don't think either is wrong. I mean, they both played it out the way they thought they should play it out, and those two things didn't mesh together.
Right.
The Patriots thought they had to do it as quickly as possible. The Detroit, Tampa, Denvers of the world didn't want to get in early for some reason, whatever it was. It manifested itself at a certain time, and they just didn't meet up for a deal.
But like you said,
how many millions of trades don't get made that may have been actually been decent trades for both teams?
Like with your car thing the other day, you said you wanted $1,500, right? The guy comes in, pulls out $1,100 from his pocket. What if 5 minutes later, some guy comes down the street and says, "Oh, I can get you $1,600, but I need to go sell some stock and I'm getting some money from." You would have taken the $1,100.
I took the Bill approach. What if in 3 months from now I'm mowing around this car that's still sitting in the frickin' front yard?
Yeah,
right.
That's Matt Cassel still sitting on the frickin'
roster. Well, I don't think anybody really did anything wrong.
No.
Jeff writes in, "Love the show. I don't think Peppers is as dominated as you guys think. There was tape comparing Haynesworth and Peppers." Two different players, but Haynesworth always needs to be accounted for and doubled. You don't have to game plan for Peppers. I would rather pick up a defensive lineman in the second round and grab Taylor for a year or so. I think this draft has good options for defensive line, and if we can get Taylor for a year or two and work in younger guys, that's the way to go. Also, I think they cleared $18 million off the cap with Castle and Vrabel. I also think that Minnesota is going after Cutler now, that he probably wants to be traded. They did not want Castle, but they will take Cutler if they can work the situation that he is unhappy. And Fred is right. The Pats are not concerned with numbers or sacks. They are more concerned with doing their job and being in their spot. That is why Thomas will not have the big numbers, but he is very good.
Well, nobody did their job last year because they didn't get any pressure on the quarterback and they didn't cover receivers.
Are we talking
and he's
about,
involved with both of those on varying plays.
We yeah. talk about, you know, guys doing their roles and the defense being constructed so that a guy has a job to do, not necessarily a wild player. But what if, you know, what if Bill thinks he can take a guy like Peppers and just says, your role is go after the quarterback every play. Don't worry about dropping into coverage. Don't worry about following
yeah,
the
But now
end.
You're changing your defense.
Yeah, that's the kind of you're stuff that I think Bill doesn't do.
You're right. Changing your defense. I mean, there Who's are guys in the league that that's what they tell to do, but that's a different defense than
okay.
we have.
Okay.
And maybe he would do that, but well, he'd be changing his defense.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Bill's defense
yes.
hasn't really been what's been making him win the last few years. So maybe he's starting to think, maybe I need to change a little bit on defense.
Maybe, you know.
I think that's plausible. I mean, I think he's always been a.
Why not make
to
it
that?
A 4-3?
But
you're
I think
short
it's
on
plausible.
Linebackers, but with Peppers, you have a guy who's paid line. Now you're, you know, you could say you're going to play defensive end for us.
Do you think they changed the offense when Randy Moss got here? Some.
Sure.
Yeah, and that's my point. I think when you get a great player, if you think it's worth it,
absolutely.
You change it. If the impact is going to be great enough in the positive. Like Ed Reed, I don't think they play the same way
right.
Ed Reed that they've played the last 5 years.
These guys,
but Bill right. got Ed Reed,
these guys,
take him.
These guys might have histories, but the good ones, the good coaches aren't stubborn.
Right.
When Parcells that's came here, he was 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but he had Drew Bledsoe.
Right.
So they threw the ball.
Right.
Exactly. Especially if you don't think that Peppers can make that transition.
Right.
You
oh, certainly
consider.
The ideal is my yeah. system stays the same, and I think he can be great in my system. But
if you're
if
get
I think he can
sacks
be
from him.
Yeah, a 14 to 20 sack guy
yeah.
that will greatly improve not only my pass rush, but my overall pass defense, my coverage. He'll make Ellis Hobbs look like a decent corner. If he does all that and it's tweaking the fronts and the way I do things, I think he'll do it. Be the best interest yeah. of his football team. And generally, that's what he does.
That's no, all I'm saying.
I agree. And no one, by the way, is suggesting that you have to have these big sack numbers to make plays.
No. But I'm just...
The email there that was saying that, you know, Bill's system's never going to have that. First of all, again, Mike Vrabel had 12 and a half sacks last year. I don't think Bill said, you know what, you're getting too many sacks. Let's calm it down a little bit. You can make plays. You're not precluded from making plays.
Andy and Narragansett, first off, I agree with the trade. I agreed with the trade the Pats made, and
rusher?
I think all will be fine. Over the weekend, I had an interesting idea. I know that Patriots wanted a quick trade to free up cap space and would not have wanted to wait around for Arizona to work out the Warner situation since he's a free agent. But would Arizona have traded their first-round pick for Castle? Many people questioned Castle's ability to play without Moss and Welker, but in Arizona, he'd have Fitzgerald and Bolden. Plus, it would be interesting to see Leinart back up Castle. I know Arizona would have waited to see what Warner decides to do, but it was an interesting idea. I had any thoughts?
Interesting idea, but I don't think it would have played out well in reality.
And are they totally done with Matt Leinart?
That's my
Didn't
point.
Didn't he win the job last
2 years ago?
Yeah.
Before he got injured?
Yep. Right.
So they liked him. They didn't hate him. And he hasn't played since. So why would you hate him more? You just have a guy that's been better and helped you win.
And you went with the hot hand.
So I think there's a chance that if Kurt Warner signs with the 49ers, Matt Leinart is the starter.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they're saying right now. And I know a lot of that is negotiations with Warner.
Right.
But they're saying right now, look, we want Kurt back, but if it doesn't work out, we're comfortable with Matt Leinart.
They never fell out of love with Leinart. They fell in love with Warner.
I think that's accurate.
And they're
right to think like that because Warner played great.
Right. And he might not. I mean, the Bolden thing is up in the air because if Bolden was back in Arizona, Warner said he'd be back, right?
Yeah, and Warner's got 2 years. I mean, Bolden's got 2 years left in his deal, so there's at least a chance that he's back.
Right. But it's not
100%.
No, that's why I said.
Well, I tell you, if there's any signs of the Cardinals being one of those teams that make it to the Super Bowl and then drop off, they're all there.
I agree.
Has
it been a very good start to free agency?
No.
Along those lines of fit, Paul, you talked about the Patriots Football Weekly that's printing as we speak and coming out. In the combine coverage, there's some quotes from Jim Miller, and we were joking earlier that he kind of flip-flopped and originally said Castle was worth. Second-round pick was kind of on the lower end of that spectrum. If he had kept with that, he would have been right all along because he said Kansas City was the perfect fit, but not because of Pioli, but because of Todd Haley and Chan Gailey's offense was a shotgun spread-type offense, which
Castle had the bulk of his success in New England last year, and he predicted that that would make a lot of sense on paper as a football move, not a Pioli front office comfort, but pure football, he'd fit in the system. He would have been right all along.
Yeah, which I think was
instead he flip-flopped and said Castle was the greatest player in the history of the world a few weeks after saying he was worth a two.
Yeah, which I think was really the best analysis that we've seen of the Castle situation.
And the only place you can see it, Paul,
is PFW, as usual, with Andy and Eric's wonderful combine work.
On newsstands, tomorrow morning.
Mañana, mañana.
Yeah. Let's see. Jake from Pennsylvania says, hey, guys, Andy and 2G. I listened to the podcast, so I don't know what has been said about these topics so far. I'm sorry if it's already been said. First thing that sticks out to me about free agency so far is that Eric was actually right.
I doubt it.
And not actually exactly right.
I doubt
all the action for the Pats happened over the weekend. The second thing,
the one who said they were going to trade him.
No, so did I.
I was actually the only one that didn't think that trade would happen over the weekend. I think all three of you thought that was going
to
happen.
But Mike Reese projected it around the draft.
Props to you, Paul, for at least saying that guys that you knew said it was going to happen early. So at least we're discussing it.
I didn't. Yeah. I thought it was going to take a little longer. I still wish it did take a little longer. But you guys all three of you thought it was going to happen right away, and it did.
That's pretty right.
Jake also says the second thing is that the Albert Haynesworth signing was absolutely ridiculous. Haynesworth is a phenomenal defensive lineman, arguably the best in the league last year. But there is a reason why a defensive lineman has never been given a contract that huge. It is a real stupid idea.
He wasn't either.
The position is very prone to injury. Haynesworth is no exception. He has never played all 16 games in a season and had questionable offseason issues in the past. $100 million is too much for a D lineman, especially one who has only had one or two stellar years. We'll see what happens with that. Maybe it will work out. Also, I know most people think the Pats got burned in the trade, and at first I agreed. But honestly, Castle is just as risky as Haynesworth. He has only had 1 year of starting experience in the league and was demolished by good defenses. Also, he had a good running game and two star receivers to back him up. Vrabel is a solid starter, but he's getting older fast. With Gerard Mayo emerging as a star, Vrabel's leadership position was vanishing. He played very well in 07 as an edge rusher, but his speed is diminishing as well. Not dissing Vrabel, he's been an important part of the New England defense for a while, but I could see his years in New England ending soon. As to the second rounder that they got, that was all the higher that I would expect KC to give. Pioli is holding on to that third overall pick for precious life, so it would have made more sense for a second and a fourth or something like that. Maybe even a third in Gonzalez. But looking in retrospect, it does no good. Let's just see what Belichick does with this pick. Finally, a question. If the worst were to happen and Brady is not ready for the start of the season, who is next in line for the QB spot? O'Connell, or would they get a free agent? And he has Brett Favre.
No, definitely not Brett Favre.
And is Gutierrez still on the squad?
It would be O'Connell unless there's a free agent who comes off the street who, you know, gives him a run.
I mean, look, O'Connell's got,
fair enough.
Eric, who's always exactly right. I mean, O'Connell has to have a good training camp. Let's face it. I mean, he's got to come out and perform in training camp. The backup job is not his until he earns it.
My guess is the backup job is his.
I would think the backup job is his in training camp.
But I think
if they're going to bring in a veteran, they'll bring in a veteran in the next month.
I agree.
They're not going to bring in a veteran
August 10th after O'Connell had a bad game.
For the same reason they didn't do it last year after Brady got hurt.
Bill likes his quarterbacks to know the system.
Right. But my point was, even if they bring a veteran in, I'm not sold that veteran would automatically be the starter.
I'm not
in
either.
Brady's absence. So I'm saying.
But if they bring that veteran in in August, I'm sold he'll be the third.
Oh, yeah, at that point.
Because I think if O'Connell makes it to camp without losing the job to somebody else, it's his job.
Right.
And I think they'll probably just play him. I mean, they drafted him in the third round.
For a reason.
He's pretty valuable. They see something they like. And even last year, we saw him evolve a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to make fun of him for throwing, you know, dump offs at guys' shins, but he had that nice throw against the Giants. Right?
Yeah.
Was that against Giants?
Yeah. The last preseason game, left corner of the end zone.
Yep. And he said, you know, that's a throw, a call, an adjustment I could not have made 3 weeks ago. Yep. So now multiply that times 50 in what he's done the last year.
And I'm going to add,
give him a shot.
The fact that he was able to be the backup all year to me was telling.
Right.
Because a lot of people thought, I wasn't one of them, but a lot of people thought that Gutierrez outplayed Castle in the preseason. They let Gutierrez go, which, okay, that made sense. You'd keep the young guy. Right. You had Castle who had more experience than Brady. But now Brady's gone. Gutierrez comes back. O'Connell remained the backup quarterback. So that told me something in Bill's eyes, so what he thought about Kevin O'Connell.
Can we flip-flop it to the other side of this coin, the Castle side? Would you be stunned if the Chiefs are a decent football team this year? Because I wouldn't.
No, I've been telling you that for a whole year, all the young guys that they drafted. I mean, I wouldn't.
They acquired a franchise quarterback. They have a good receiver when he doesn't play the Patriots in Dwayne Bowe. They have Tony Gonzalez. If Larry Johnson stays and wants to contribute, and their offensive line, they drafted a stud last year in Albert. Mm-hmm. They could get another guy this year in the second round for that line. They got Glenn Dorsey. They have the third overall pick to add a legitimate playmaker to either side
probably
of the ball.
Probably another lineman on either side of the ball.
And, I mean, you're talking about chances to be pretty good pretty fast.
They had 2 second-round picks?
What?
You said they'd get another stud in the second. Did they have 2 second-round picks?
I don't know. I don't even know where that came from.
I just like, and I remember from doing the preview for the opener last year, and all of those young guys, and look, it's a crapshoot. You never know if you're going to hit. Like you said, they had a stud last year in Brandon Albert. Maybe he turns out to be a stud. If they hit on enough of those guys, if Dorsey, Albert, and the Virginia Tech cornerback whose name is escaping me now, is it Brandon Flowers? Okay. If they hit on enough of those kinds of guys, where did that come from, by the way? Two gender. I think they had 34 guys that were in their third year or less on the opening day roster.
It
was a ridiculously high number. If you get half of those guys to be the nucleus of your team in year 4 and 5, you're pretty good.
Yeah.
You're going to be pretty good.
Mark from Cheddar writes in, just wondering what is happening to PFW in progress. I couldn't listen live last week, but caught up over the weekend, and the praise for Paul's solo show was unbelievable.
Nauseating is the word I use, but whatever.
I have a few comments, though.
Accurate was the word I used.
The show was better than not having a show, but come on, it was still a Paul solo show. Having said that, the best part of the show was Paul telling Two Gender to shut up and not talk. So well done, Paul.
So a solo Paul show is better than Two Gender chiming in.
Also, did Two Gender have a late night Wednesday because he was rubbish on Thursday. Good to have Fred back from the staycation, and Andy and Eric, great work at the combine.
How do you tell when Two Gender's rubbish? I mean, isn't he always rubbish?
Now, as you might remember, I sent in an email a month ago about Lonnie Paxton and how if he left, I would worry because the franchise was built around him. You all laughed it off because you thought he was certain to resign. Are you worried yet? Do you want to change your mind?
No.
Considering what they got for Castle, would it have been better to have franchise Paxton? Can you franchise a long snapper? Anyway,
I actually don't know the answer to that.
Anyway, I need Fred to tell me it's all going to be fine. I'm worried, very, very worried. No, they got Hochstein back. See, this is the thing.
Oh, I heard about this.
The Hochstein signing is the biggest signing in the offseason.
Hi there.
He's your fullback. He's going to be your long snapper, and he's your utility guard.
You want to bet on the long snapper thing?
He's not going to be
I'll bet you a lunch that he will not be.
He'll be the backup long snapper.
He's going to be that other guy?
No, some guy I've never heard of that they signed. That's a 12-year veteran or something.
But he can do it in a pinch.
He's the backup.
Yes, he's the backup,
long snapper.
But they will sign somebody.
When was the last time they pinched him and asked him to do it? They'll sign
someone to do that whose job it is to be the long snapper.
This is going
to
be the year of Russ Hochstein.
The year that he gets cut?
Contributing. Absolutely.
He's been contributing.
Hochstein in 09.
One last.
Have you been asleep for the last 3 years? Because he's been a contributor.
No, I know, but people are going to really appreciate him this year.
People who watch already
appreciate him.
I think that other than us, I don't think even people know how to pronounce his last name.
It's on the wall. Hochstein.
I said other than us.
Well, we didn't really know how. That's why we wrote it.
One last comment. Now that Hushmanzada is being royally overpaid to be a good number two, nowhere near good to be number one receiver in Seattle, any chance the Pats inquire about Deion Branch coming back for a season?
As far as I know, Branch isn't going anywhere. I know they were very happy with it.
As far as they said, Branch, because he had a bonus due. People started speculating they weren't going to pay it. He was going to become a free agent. Yeah. Then I think there was a chance he would have come back here. But is it Russert? Tim Russert? Not Tim Russert.
No, it's not Tim Russert.
Ted, you know.
It's something Russert, I believe, is their personnel guy, said that they were very happy with the way he played down the stretch, and he was getting
Heckert?
That bonus.
They should be. He was playing.
Tim Heckert? It's Russert. I'm looking it up.
Anyway, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Appreciate everyone who called and emailed in. I know we only got to a small
portion.
Just a small portion of the emails, Paul. We had tons.
I know, but a lot of participation.
So what Tucci will do is he'll call out the best of them, and maybe we can get to them on Thursday.
Yeah. Maybe he'll get to the ones that said that they were going to buy us lunch.
Yeah. Oh.
Did you contact him for Thursday?
All right.
So we can queue up Christian for next week.
I want to thank everyone for listening. Eric, thanks for coming in today. And we'll see you on Thursday.